Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, the Republican Party in Texas is running three different Tea Party members against Congressman Ron Paul. Of course, Congressman Paul has above a 70% approval rating in Texas with Republicans and Democrats, and he won his last election, what was it, by 69 percentage points. But it doesn't matter. The Republican Party is going against Congressman Ron Paul. And we have Sarah Palin, of course, endorsing Rick Perry above Deborah Medina. You couldn't get a better gubernatorial candidate. And if she gets elected, and it looks like she could, she's getting about 5 percentage points a week. By the weekend, statistically, she should have closed in and be above Kay Bailey Hutchinson. She already is in some polls. That's been reported by Politico. And then early voting starts at the end of next week. And then the election's early next month. So this is a very, very interesting what's happening. And it's really an important election, more important than Brown in Massachusetts, for the message it sends across the country. Because this isn't a Republican taking a seat from a Democrat. This is true conservatives taking over the Republican Party. A battle for the heart and soul. But Paul Watson has a key article here, and Rachel Maddow covered it last night on MSNBC. Ron Paul warns of neocon takeover of Tea Party movement. Grassroots, founded by congressmen supporters, have been infiltrated by Republican Party operatives, and that is on record. The Republican Party is now running Tea Party Nation, and they're going up against Congressman Ron Paul. We're going to be playing several of those clips coming up today. We're getting Ron Paul, Rand Paul on next week. Correct, guys? That's pretty much set for next week. Good. Getting Rand Paul on, Ron Paul, Deborah Medina, everybody to talk about this. The good news is the neocons are starting to lose control. They tried to sweep in and take over. People kind of were stunned by it. Their heads were spinning for a few months. But now people are really going, wait a minute. You're hailing George W. Bush to triple the size of government and wouldn't secure our borders? And you're seeing more wars as conservatives? Remember last year at CPAC, the big Republican meeting they have every year with over 5,000 attendees, Limbaugh spoke and others. Ron Paul got a standing ovation and got repeated standing ovations and strong applause when he said conservatives aren't for war. So, see, that shatters the illusion that even the majority or even a large minority of Republicans are a bunch of warmongers. So this is exciting. And, of course, we know the Democrat base isn't for war, but their leadership is bought and paid for by the same foreign interests, so they continue to expand the wars. So that is coming up today, Paul Watson's key article at prisonplanet.com that needs to be gotten out to everybody on all the Tea Party blogs, websites, on all the Ron Paul forums. Ron Paul warns of neocon takeover of the Tea Party movement. And it's got all the videos of himself and others talking about this and the key video that I put together yesterday with Aaron Dykes that breaks down the danger of Sarah Palin, that if she is the Republican Party nominee, Barack Obama will be reelected. Now, I've been saying that for the last few months. Michael Savage has come out strong against Sarah Palin, which will be a serious blow to her. Close to 400 radio stations, one of the biggest shows in the country. He has come out against her, saying she's a dingbat airhead and very, very dangerous. So that's some good news on that front. But first off, Scannergate, facts contradict Heathrow claim that naked images can't be printed. Remember the big TV movie star who said they printed off images of his naked body and had him sign them? Well, Heathrow's saying, we're not even going to investigate. That's impossible. Well, it turns out they're lying. So we'll be breaking this down as well. And open phones today. Stay with us.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
You don't need Alex Jones to tell you there's a battle for the heart and soul of the Tea Party going on right now. And those of us that are true constitutionalists, true libertarians, true patriots, are beginning to gain ground. Sure, smooth-talking, high-powered Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin and Dick Armey swooped in and started taking it over about 8 months ago, but there's now a giant backlash to that. I remember a year ago, every time Rick Perry or Cornyn, the senator here in Texas, gave a speech at a Tea Party, they booed him off the stage. So they started having their own meetings and calling it Tea Parties and sending out letters to all the neocon supporters. And that's fine. If they want to have their own big government, pro-war, North American Union, open borders party, they can have it. But they don't need to call it the Tea Party. But I like the listener's idea from yesterday. We need to found the Coffee Party to take the Tea Parties back. Wake up the Tea Party people that are still asleep with a big, hot container of boiling black coffee. A big old pitcher of black boiling coffee to wake their hind ends up immediately. So we're going to be discussing that coming up in the next hour in detail. I'm going to play several video/audio clips with Ron Paul breaking this down and others. You got to love it. The father of the Tea Party movement, Ron Paul, there's no doubt about that, from 2007. And there's no doubt that Maddow and MSNBC are trying to drive a wedge here. Instead, we need to point out that it's the Republicans that have engaged in the takeover. But they did go back and play the videos of 2007 with Tea Party marches for Ron Paul, organized by this radio show and many others. And so this is exciting what is happening. We'll open the phones up throughout this hour on that subject and a host of other news items. We also have the war card with Iran being played. They're suggesting Obama play it, and he is playing it, with all these new sanctions and moving troops and missile cruisers into the area, openly saying they may strike Iran, telling China they better get on board with it or the U.S. will put sanctions on them. China threatening to dump U.S. bonds and drive our economy deeper into depression. I mean, things are heating up globally and in every geopolitical sector. Also, I have other incredible stories like this one here out of the UK Daily Mail. Tony Blair attacks Iraq inquiry as part of Britain's obsession with conspiracy theories. Well, they have the White House memo. They have the Downing Street memo with meetings in England at 10 Downing Street and in the White House with Bush and Blair saying we know he doesn't have WMDs in 2002, 2003. One meeting was in 2002, one in 2003, one of them 3 weeks before the attack in March. But March 15th, the Ides of March, where they said we could fly a plane low and try to get it shot down, painted up as the UN. We could stage other events. We've got to put out fake intelligence. We're going to war regardless. That's not a conspiracy theory. It's not a conspiracy theory that the court is finding that it was all based on a fraud and a lie. But that's what Al Gore does. Al Gore gets up before the Congress and says it's a conspiracy theory that any scientists disagree that man is causing global warming or that we're even having global warming. He says the science is settled. All scientists agree. No one disagrees. The last time he testified, a week before, had been all over the news that 31,000 plus signatures, it's now over 40,000, had been sent by top scientists in the U.S. alone, climatologists, hydrologists, meteorologists, to the Congress and to Gore, and they weren't allowed to testify. And he gets up there and says, well, that's a conspiracy theory that anybody disagrees. You know, there's people who believe we didn't land on the moon. We cover all that in Fall of the Republic. Tony Blair attacks Iraq inquiry as part of Britain's obsession with conspiracy theories. Tony Blair yesterday launched an extraordinary attack on the Iraq inquiry as the chairman warned that he and others could be recalled over gaps in the evidence, recalled to testify for lies. In an outspoken interview in the U.S., the former prime minister dismissed the inquiry as part of a continual desire to sort of uncover some great conspiracy. That's a quote. Speaking on Fox News, he said, critics of the war were obsessed with conspiracy theories. Oh, so it's a conspiracy theory that you lied about WMDs premeditatedly? That's admitted, sir. Speaking on Fox News, he said, critics of the war were obsessed with conspiracy theories and asked to accept that his motives were genuine. Asked why the inquiry was being held, he said, there's always got to be a scandal as to why you hold your view. There's got to be some conspiracy behind it, quote, some great, you know, deceit that's going on, and people just find it hard to understand that it's impossible to people to have different points of view and hold them reasonably for general reasons. It's not a point of view, Blair. The Nigerian yellow cake uranium, or Niger uranium, the aluminum tubes, the nuclear weapons plants, all of it made up, the magnetic pulse weapons made up, the rail guns made up, the attacks on England coming in 45 minutes made up. Everyone knows the WMD story was made up. Everyone knows that. It's admitted. The White House has admitted it. But Tony Blair just says it is a conspiracy theory. And that's what the term conspiracy theory now means. You know, the media for a long time tried to mix in UFOs and abominable snowmen and Bigfoot in with the Federal Reserve being private and the murder of JFK by the CIA. They would try to mix in things that couldn't be proven or were fanciful or fiction or ridiculous or absurdist in with real documented events. But that hasn't worked for them. So then they just denied that there was any government corruption, and they denied that there was a Council on Foreign Relations or a Bilderberg group. The Rothschilds didn't even exist. There was no call for world government. It didn't matter if you could have hundreds of books written by world leaders calling for world government. Didn't matter how many UN documents you had. Didn't matter how many Council on Foreign Relations publications said it. It didn't exist. You were crazy. And you see Cass Sunstein at the White House boiling it down. He said, if you say man-made global warming isn't real, we will arrest you. We will make it illegal. If you think sunlight's good for you, it's illegal. He picked some of the most broad things that the majority, now over 70% in major polls, believe man-made global warming's a fraud. The science shows it. 70% of you, you're crazy, you need to be arrested. Oh, you think a little bit of sunlight's good for you, as literally thousands of studies show that you have to have it to produce vitamin A in your body. He doesn't care. He picks things that are so wide and so mainstream. It's like saying, if I say the sun doesn't come up in the morning, and I'm the government spokesman, and you say the sun does come up in the morning, I don't care if a big yellow ball comes up in the morning. It is a conspiracy theory. We control reality. We tell you what you can and cannot believe. You have no free speech. Shut up. We didn't lie about WMDs. We didn't try to stage events. We didn't do anything wrong. It's just our point of view, and you're arguing with our point of view. No, it wasn't a point of view. So they're getting more and more desperate. And so later we'll play the clip of Mr. Blair on Fox News yesterday saying it's a conspiracy theory. And then they think you're so weak-minded that if the media and the former prime minister say it's a conspiracy theory that they ever lied about WMDs, that you're just going to say, yes, sir, I better do what's societally acceptable and politically correct, and I'm going to do what you say. And I'm going to be a politically correct Republican, or I'm going to be a politically correct Democrat, and I'm going to repeat whatever the received knowledge from on the mountaintop down to us, these lesser mortals, and we're just going to buy whatever you say, and you control reality. And if you say the ocean's red and we think it's blue, well, we'll just agree with you and say it's red. And if you say 2 + 2 = 500, we'll say, yes, sir, boss, it must equal 500. And it looks like it equals 4, but You say so, Cass Sunstein. You say so, Tony Blair. You say so, Barack Obama. You say so, Al Gore. You say so, Angela Merkel. You say so, Nicolas Sarkozy. You say so, and what you say goes, yes, sir. If you tell us to go jump off a cliff and then it's going to feel good at the bottom, yes, sir. If you tell us it isn't a cliff, but it looks like a cliff, and you tell us to go jump off the edge of it and that we're going to walk on air, yes, sir, we're not going to be conspiracy theorists. We're going to do what you say, because anybody that questions anything you do is a conspiracy theorist. I mean, it is the height of arrogance that they do this. I've been before city councils in different parts of the country in Austin. I brought up subsections of the Patriot Act, and I've had a city council person laugh and say, that's your conspiracy theory, as I'm reading the legislation. But you know what? I think it's good that you guys just continue to act like you're God and we're a bunch of idiots, because everybody is starting to see through your facade in a big way. So that's some of what we'll be talking about today as well. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231. We do have a guest coming up in the third hour, Dr. Bruce E. Levine. You don't want to miss that. I'll tell you more about it later. But when we come back, you saw the Drudge Report and hundreds of other magazines and newspapers yesterday linking to Paul Watson's report about the naked body scanners. Well, we're going to be breaking that down, because now Heathrow has been caught in what I would call clear deception, claiming we can't record your bodies. We didn't record anybody's bodies, but we're not going to investigate because it's so absurd. Kind of like a 2 weeks into ClimateGate, they were saying, we're not going to report on it at AP or BBC because it's absurd. Of course, it turned out it was all true. We'll be right back.
Out your window, I'm leaving. I won't even turn my head. Don't send your kin folks to give me no talking. I'll be gone, like I said. You'd say the same old thing that you've been saying all along. Lay there in your bed and keep your mouth shut till I'm gone.
Okay, there's multiple stories within the main story of the naked body scanner news that broke yesterday. Paul Watson wrote his article after seeing it on BBC television and finding a Yahoo News article. There was also an article in one of the New York papers. We have those all posted up on prisonplanet.com. And so we wrote an article about the claims of this TV movie star who said he went through and then they naked body scanned him, and then he thought they had documents for him to sign, and they came over and it was printouts of his naked body. And we reported on that. And he has been unavailable for comment since then. There's a London Telegraph article today with Heathrow saying it isn't true, but we've written a big article breaking down the fact that we know they're lying, because we have the internal documents from the machine companies that it does save your images. I mean, obviously, how do you think they show images on the news of people's scanned naked bodies? And we've had other articles where congressmen have gone to the airports and had them print off the images for them. And now they admit, okay, you can. So we know Heathrow is lying about that, where this reportedly happened. But the other separate issue is the haters and the COINTELPRO in all these articles are claiming we made this up. That he didn't even say this on TV, that this wasn't even in the news. We reported this from BBC and from Yahoo and from a New York publication. It just so happened Drudge linked to our article because it was the best and broke down all the different angles. All these alternative sites are so jealous. What are you jealous for? I wake up most of the people for you to then go visit your sites. What's the problem? You use most of our stories to drive traffic to your sites. We're all supposedly on the same team. I know you're pulling your hair out with complete jealousy that InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com continue to surge. But look, I'm walking point for you. You should be happy. I'm here taking all the heat for you. But again, you're discredited with your disinformation. We simply took the BBC report and the Indian News report and the Yahoo News report and broke it down for people. Now, will they pressure this actor who has to fly in and out of England, lives in London, to retract the story? I don't know. But watching the video of what he had to say, and we'll play it later, and going over the transcript of what he has to say that we have printed in the original article and a link to the video, you got to love people criticizing us saying we made this up when all we did was link to the BBC. It's amazing. Exposed naked body scanner images of film star printed, circulated by airport staff, PrisonPlanet.com. And this story was number 9 in total internet searches, according to Google and Alexa. Number 9 yesterday. And it's certainly exposing the fact that they do record the image. They can print them out. They do. Regardless of whether this big TV movie star is lying. And listening to the audio, watching the video, it doesn't sound like it. I mean, he's telling the whole story of how he got into the scanner. Then they came over to him with documents, told him to wait, thought he was going to have to sign documents, and it was images of his body, and so he just laughed and signed it, autographed it. I mean, how many news videos and photos have you seen of smiling men while some hot blonde stands in the scanner staring at their naked body? The media lies and tries to say you can't see people's breasts or genitals. I was on TSA's own website today at Homeland Security. I sent this to Watson. In his own article, he links to it. We're working on the story together at 6 a.m. this morning. The TSA's own scans show the man's genitals and show a woman's genitals and breast clearly. So Heathrow and the British government are lying and saying, we can't record this. They're guaranteed caught in a lie. And saying, you can't see genitals. Lying, lying, lying. We have them lying. And now we have Paul Watson's new article, Scannergate, Facts Contradict Heathrow Claim That Naked Images Can't Be Printed. The government lies as a matter of course. It's rare when they're not lying. You understand how corrupt the world's governments are. We have to stop accepting all of their deception. We'll break it down. Calls are coming up. First, I want to finish up with our top story, the naked body scanners. I've got a stack of news from today all over mainstream newspapers in England, Europe, and the U.S. and Canada, where more TSA people are going crazy saying they're God, telling 14-year-old girls they've got to be their sex slave, threatening to plant cocaine on them if they don't give them their phone number, groping women's breasts, beating people up, strangling people, arresting people for arguing with them. Charging people with false crimes and erasing video camera tapes. This is just a bunch of lunatic thugs. Now, I feel kind of bad saying that, but the people that are getting in trouble are lunatic thugs, and they are being protected by the system, and that's why these guys are getting away with it and getting crazier and crazier and crazier over and over again. It is true that when I fly out of Austin or Los Angeles or other airports, the majority of the time, TSA, before I've even shown them my driver's license, wave me over and say, I'm a fan of the show. We don't like what's going on. We're going to get a union in here. We know it's stupid. I liked your last film. Then I walk through the L.A. airport, and there's a Mexican food restaurant, and cops walk out of it, who are standing there about to get a table, and say, hey, we like your show, Alex. So I don't want to turn off a bunch of people who aren't bad. I mean, obviously, if I've got LAPD coming over, I'm almost swatting TSA off of me, signing autographs when my bags go through and I'm repacking them because you got to take the camera or laptop out over and over again. Most of the time I fly, they then ask for autographs. So I understand that the most of them are not lunatics, but you need to get the lunatics out of there. But I want to be clear about that. I have only had TSA treat me badly twice. Once in Billings, Montana, and it was bad, real bad, being shouted at, screamed at for no reason. I mean, I'm not usually a pack rat, but there was a free lotion and a free shampoo in my hotel room. We'd stayed in Hardin, but that last night we stayed in Billings so we could catch our 8 a.m. flight. And I was in the bathroom, and I just took the shampoo and put it in my bag. And the lady's screaming at me, and I said, "Lady, your own sign right here says however many ounces." I said, "Read the back. This isn't even anywhere near that amount." And she said, "Okay, fine, go through, but you better watch it." And they were yelling at other people and acting all crazy and had some woman begging to them for eye mascara that was completely within their regulations. They're nuts. And at L.A. in 2006, I was flying back from seeing Charlie Sheen and working on some film projects with him. And they made me take my took my shoes off, and then they took me over to wand me, even though the metal detector hadn't gone off. And these two TSA guys, they were black guys, maybe they were racist, maybe white guys do that to black guys, I don't know. And they said, "Oh, Mr. Stinky Feet, Mr. Stinky Feet." Now, I had just taken a shower like an hour and a half before at the hotel. If I do one thing, I have a lot of pairs of shoes. I rotate them. My shoes do not smell. Okay, I have a high level of hygiene. I had fresh socks on. My feet didn't smell. And they said, "Oh, you don't like it, Mr. Stinky Feet." Sort of laughing at me and bulging their eyes out at me. And I thought that was insulting and dehumanizing. "I know you're bored, but I'm not here to be humiliated by you. I'm not in San Quentin. You're not my jail guard." I have seen TSA and the private security they had in the first few years after 9/11. They had this weirdo group called Wolverine Security in San Francisco when I was flying out, and I was watching a group of World War II vets because they were wearing their caps, survivors of the Arizona. One of them had an oxygen tank, looked like he was about to die on the spot. I mean, literally, this guy could barely walk. And they were gibbering and jabbering at him in foreign languages. And I was reading over the news in case after case of people being harassed by the TSA. In almost every case, they've got a Arabic last name. And I'm not here bashing Arabs. Everybody knows that. I don't have some thing for hating brown people or people from the Middle East. In fact, I try to stop all these wars against them. But it seems like it's almost always somebody named Muhammad or something. And then they'll also have an Islamic last name who is harassing some 45-year-old English teacher. So, I mean, the joke is, over and over again, I see foreigners, people who can barely speak English, are the ones having their way with the American people. But that's what Homeland Security's for, is to train you how to be a good little slave. But I'm already digressing. Expose, naked body scammer. Keep having that Freudian slip because it's a scam. This is the first big article yesterday. I want to recap this first and get into the big new developments. Expose naked body scanner images of film star printed and circulated by airport staff. Authorities claim that virtual strip search pictures immediately destroyed, proven fraudulent use of devices, need to be halted now. We got emails from Heathrow Media Office this morning, by the way. And we're busy trying to get back in touch with them and get them on. They're saying there's no way to record this. There's no way to save it. There's no way this is true. Really? Really? Just like there was no way a smart-dressed man without a passport got the underwear bomber on the plane in Amsterdam. Now it's admitted. Just like there was no way somebody else got pulled off the plane in Detroit reportedly with a bomb. Then they lied about it and later admitted it. Like that? I mean, there's no way that was a lie. We know you're lying. We know we have the specs of the two different machines that are sold. There's only two different ones, two different types of scanners. You can go to the TSA website and read it. You can go to the British website and read it. It's only two companies. We know you can record. So the fact that you do record and do save it and that you're saying you can't and it's impossible, you're caught lying right there. claims on behalf of authorities that naked body scanner images are immediately destroyed after passengers pass through new X-ray backscatter devices have been proven fraudulent after it was revealed that naked images of Indian film star Khan, how do you pronounce his first name? Shah Rukh Khan? Guys, how do you pronounce that? Shah Rukh Khan. Indian film star Shah Rukh Khan were printed out and circulated by airport staff at Heathrow in London. UK Transport Secretary Lord Adonis said this week that the images produced by the scanners were deleted immediately. Oh, so now they're admitting they at least have images. And airport staff carried out the procedure are fully trained and supervised. It is very important to stress that the images which are captured by body scanners are immediately deleted after the passenger has gone through the body scanner. Unless they want to keep them, he told the London Evening Standard. He was forced to address privacy concerns following reports that the images produced by the scanners broke child pornography laws in the UK. When the scanners were first introduced, it was also speculated the images of famous people would be ripe for abuse as the pictures produced by the devices make genitals eerily visible, according to journalists who have investigated trials of the technology. However, the transport secretary's assurances were demolished after it was revealed on the BBC's. See, our article had all these sources and links. Jonathan Ross show Friday that Indian actor Khan had passed through a body scan and later had the image of his naked body printed out and circulated by Heathrow security staff. Here's a quote. I was in London recently going through the airport and these new machines have come up with the body scans. You've got to see them. It makes you embarrassed if you're not well endowed, said Khan, referring to how the scans produced clear images of a person's genitals. You walk into the machine, quote, you walk into the machine and everything, the whole outline of your body comes out. He said, quote, I was a little scared. Something happens inside the scans and I came out. Then I saw these girls. They had these printouts. I looked at them. I thought they were some forms you had to fill. I said, give them to me, and you could see everything inside, so I autographed them for them, said Khan. The story was carried by Yahoo News under the headline, Sean Ruka signs off sexy body scan printouts at Heathrow. I guess that's one of his stage names. Khan's reference to girls with printouts of his naked body scan can only refer to female airport security staff responsible for processing the images produced by the scanners. And again, the New York News is calling Heathrow liars today about this, saying they're lying like we are. Professionals who are supposed to instantly delete the images, according to the head of transportation. The revelations that airport security staff are completely abusing any notion of the professionalism promised by authorities by printing out and circulating images of naked body scans should set alarm bells ringing, especially in light of the fact that such images of minors breaks child pornography laws. And that's why in Denver at the courthouse, they've quit scanning people under 18. British authorities, not servants, they're authorities, have made it mandatory for travelers to submit to the naked body scanners when asked and have overturned previous rules that prevented under 18s from passing through the devices. Within days of the devices being introduced at Heathrow, staff have abused their professionalism and printed out naked scans of a famous actor for their own titillation. And then the article goes on. It's a lengthy story. It's got all the links to it. Now, this morning, you're talking like 12 hours ago, England time, they hit the ground running saying this is impossible, but they're not going to investigate because there's no way this could have happened. Scannergate. Facts contradict Heathrow claim that naked images can't be printed. The latest development at PrisonPlanet.com by Paul Joseph Watson. Heathrow's airport denial that Indian film star Khan's naked body scanner images were printed and circulated by airport staff because the devices have no capability to print or distribute images contradicts leaked documents, government documents that prove the X-ray backscatter machines do have the option to store and send messages as well as actual images of the printouts. They are freely available on the Internet. Well, of course, they're looking for supposed weapons. That's their excuse for this act of total domination. How do you think they give images of it to the media? And we have links to the government's own documents. Heathrow today denied the naked body scanner images of Khan were printed and circulated by airport security staff, telling the London Telegraph the claims were completely factually incorrect because the body scanning equipment had no capability to print images. They don't ask, did they take photos with their phones or download it and print it? The BAA spokesman stressed that images captured by the equipment could not be stored or distributed in any form. But we have links to the company's own documents. Of course it does. Heathrow are trying to avoid any investigation into the incident by claiming, quote, they're not going to investigate because, quote, it simply could not be true. She says there will be no investigations because this is impossible. It simply could not be true. The machines cannot do this. However, leaked government documents obtained by the Electronic Privacy Information Center and confirmed as authentic by CNN, we have a link to that, show that the devices must have the ability to store and send images when in the test mode. That requirement leaves open the possibility that machines, which can be beneath people's clothing, can see beneath the clothing, can be abused by TSA insiders and hacked by outsiders, said Epic Executive Director Mark Rottenberg, according to the report. I want to get him on, by the way, the director of Epic. And here's the other issue. You know most of the fraud in credit cards come from insiders at banks and governments selling credit card numbers. You know most Social Security fraud, passport fraud, driver's license fraud is people inside the system. I mean, every week or two I hear about somebody in Texas or Tennessee or New York or Florida or California. Just gets constant. You know, DMV worker sold more than 3,000. I mean, sold more than 200. It's all the different numbers that we've seen. You can look them up for yourselves. In fact, Google for me, guys. I want to actually pull one up so they're going from memory. DMV worker caught selling licenses. I mean, it's literally every week I see it without looking. We know what's going on because the government wants to cover up it's doing all this so it protects these people. If you look at the actual technical specifications and you read the vendor contracts, you come to understand that these machines are capable of doing far more than TSA has let on, said Rottenberg. Indeed, if there is no capability for the devices to save, distribute, and print images, then how on earth have news organizations obtained printouts of such images like the one below? This picture is a printout of a naked body scanner image taken at an airport. At the airport. It's at the airport and they got a printout. How can Heathrow deny this? Clearly the image processed and produced by the scanners can be saved, distributed, and printed. The public has been completely misled about the fact that this represents a total violation of privacy and a system open to frightening levels of abuse, especially considering the fact that children are being forced to pass through the scanners. Just like the government claimed the scanner images do not show details of genitalia, they have been caught again and again in another example of deception. That's another lie they told. Journalists who researched trials of the technology reported that the images made genitals eerily visible. German security advisor Hans Detlef Da, a representative of the company that sells the scanners, admits that the machines, quote, show intimate piercings, catheters, and the form of breast and penises. Images of the TSA's own website produced by backscatter devices also show the genitals are visible, including every detail of the genitals. Go look for yourself. This is on the TSA's website. Indeed, when they were first being installed, Australian authorities admitted, link to that, that the machines don't work properly if sensitive areas of the body were blurred out. They look at the genitals to make sure it's focused. Just like if you're a video person, you're interviewing somebody, you zoom in on their eye first, or the cracks, their crow's feet on the edge of their eye, to make sure you're focused. Well, on this, they're in the training manuals are told to look at the vagina or look at the penis. Think about this. Indeed, when they were first being installed, Australian authorities admitted that the machines don't work properly if sensitive areas of the body are blurred out. And yet the British government still denies that the scatter pictures show details of genitalia, an obvious attempt to skirt child pornography laws, which have been violated with the introduction of the scanners. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, that they're also in the news today in the same London Telegraph article and others saying, don't worry, we have an algorithm that blurs you out. Another complete lie. with plans being ready by the Home Office in UK as well as authorities in Europe to introduce mobile naked scanners as well as street scanners attached to lampposts. Oh, that's right. It won't be long before we are naked body scanned to get into public buildings, shopping malls, sporting events, and even minding our own business walking down the street. Naked body scanners are already being used in courthouses across America. It seems the only way to make this scandal go away will be for the authorities to convince Mr. Khan to retract his story or to say it was all a joke, warning him he might end up on a no-fly list, could achieve this objective. However, unless we vehemently debunk the details of emphasizing that the scanners do show details of genital and such images can be saved, distributing, and printed, our daily lives will soon become to resemble a nightmare that far outstrips anything George Orwell could have predicted. Good job, Watson, on that article. Oh, and there's another article. Two Florida men plead guilty for their part in a CDL fraud scheme involving Florida DMV clerk. Oh, masses of fake IDs being sold. Office of the Inspector General. Again, you better believe they're going to record Angelina Jolie.
This is the end. Beautiful friend. This is the end. My only friend. The end.
Of your elaborate New World Order plans.
The end of everything that stands, the end. No safety or surprise, the end.
I'll never
look into your.
Coming up, Ron Paul warns of neocon takeover of the Tea Party movement. As the neocons finance three so-called Tea Party people to run against him. The only good thing I can say about Palin is she endorsed Rand Paul. But she's endorsed Rick Perry against Deborah Medina in Texas. All right, I'm going to go to your calls for the next three or four segments. Then I'm going to go through huge news blitzes that are coming up, and then we have a guest joining us. I also want to play Tony Blair saying it's a conspiracy theory that they lied about WMDs, trying to rewrite history. But right now, let's go. Well, let me plug this first. There is a free app. It's free. Free. Confused with some other apps people have made and saying they're with InfoWars, they're not, that cost money. And then we're told don't even really work. We have a free app. It's free. Free. Free as the driven snow. It's got, what is it? 20-something pages of five-star ratings. Less than 24 hours after the launch of our free iPhone app, it is already number 8 on the news apps for the iPhone at the Apple Store. It is free. At InfoWars.com, scroll down, there's a big banner. It is free. Free. And it's got a bunch of functions on it. You can stream the live show to your iPhone. It's got an alarm clock. It's got the phone numbers on it. It's got a news feed, a news ticker, a bunch of other stuff we're going to be adding to it. It's free, and people are grabbing it by the thousands and thousands. What is it, 5,000 people downloaded it in less than 24 hours? We launched it yesterday at 1 o'clock. So 23 hours in, 5,000-plus people have downloaded it for free. Just like our Twitter account is free, and the MySpace is free. And the Facebook is free, and InfoWars.com is free, and PrisonPlanet.com is free, and you're free to make copies of my films, and they're all free online. If you want to watch them in higher quality, yeah, pay 15 cents a day, PrisonPlanet.tv. See them in higher quality and support us, and we're adding more and more. We are going to have an app for PrisonPlanet.tv users that comes with your membership. We're working on that right now, so you can stream the videos, downloads, podcasts, everything to your phone. But the streams are free, and we're adding a link page that'll have the downloads for free. PrisonPlanet.com, InfoWars.com, big banners, get the free app. I bet it's going to be the number one news app by the end of the week. It was number 9 yesterday. It's number 8, climbing up the charts right now. And I've asked Kurt Nimmo and Paul Wasson to do an article about that, because even though their headlines said free, in the comments people are saying, I don't want to pay for this. We got a couple customer service calls here at the office for some other app that supposedly has like a news feed or something, sends you links. It drives me crazy. You know, we get in the mail all the time other people's bootleg DVDs that people bought that we didn't sell or we didn't make, and telling us to return them or mixing them one that works. I don't know. I guess sometimes offering almost everything for free causes some problems. But the point is, it is free. Our app is free. F-R-E-E. And I know most of you are sick of hearing me say that, but some people don't understand. So let me say it five more times. It is free. 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 Free app. Free app. Free. InfoWars iPhone app. Free. InfoWars. Listen to the show live. It's free. It's free. It's free. It's free. It's free.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're back live, hour number two, completely jam-packed with key info coming up. But first, your phone calls at 1-800-259-9231. The free app that we're offering is called the Alex Jones Show app. And it's free. Did I tell you it's free? Infowars.com. I just kept chanting free throughout that last 70-second break as we started the next hour. It's free. It's free. It's free. It's free. It's free. Okay. All right. I'm going to shut up. Let's go to your phone calls. Jason in California, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Alex?
Well, it's free, hey, Jason.
I know. I got the iPhone app. It works great. I'm listening live. Usually I'm a YouTube listener. But I've been listening to you for like since 2008. I've been a big part of the Ron Paul revolution out
here. Hey, Jason, how much did you pay for that app?
It was free. Worked great. Didn't pay nothing. Downloaded it immediately. Went straight to the iPhone within like 30 seconds.
And have you seen the literally hundreds of five-star reviews?
Yeah, I downloaded it actually last night. And then I listened today, first time live.
And Jason, how much did it cost?
It's free.
Okay, go ahead. I'm going to stop it now. Anyways, I'm perseverating. Go ahead.
No, that's cool. I'm in California, and I'm stoked that you're putting out that movie, How Weed Won the West. And I think it's totally true. Like, the cops out here, they bust everybody for pot, and they harass people. And there's helicopters flying over my town in Vista, San Diego, and they just, like, I look for pot fields all day long, and they bust.
And they're using the army as well, and the government ships in the majority of the drugs and launders the money. That's why I'm for decriminalization, and that's what the film exposes. It's all a sick joke, just like they have their phony environmental war as a way to get involved in your life with the green police, and that's why they've got their phony terror war and their phony drug war. It's all a hoax.
No, I know that, but 10 years ago, all the weed that was in California was all BC. It was all British Columbia, and it was all being shipped down here, and that was the only thing. And now it's all, like, grown in California, but because all the California growers, you know, they're doing everything now. But
And the price has gone down. The quality's gone up. It doesn't have government paraquat spraying on it. It's almost free.
But they're using it to, like, you know, harass the people. Like, you know, everybody I know that, you know, has pot. I've had friends got the doors kicked down, like DEA raided people my friend got a felony for having 2 grams of pot, and they said that he had a scale and he had like $1,000, and they said, oh, this is drug money, and he got a felony for that, for having 2 grams, and they say, and 16 or 14
Look,
years ago.
It's their excuse to put people in prison. It's a way to legalize slavery, and that's why I'm for decriminalization. People can pre-order How Weed Won the West. It starts shipping out on Monday, ladies and gentlemen. Get it first.
Yeah, and also I wanted to tell you one thing. Like, my friend's from China, and one of the best-selling books over there right now is called Currency Wars, and it talks about how the Federal Reserve is owned by private companies, and how the banks, it's just like all a fraud, and how everything, and that's
sir,
one of the
best-selling books
right
worldwide in nonfiction are, quote, conspiracy. But conspiracy means questioning the government in any way.
I know, I think that's good, but I think it's interesting because China has such a controlled market on their media they allow a book to become their bestseller. It's that talks about that and breaks it down. It talks about the families, Rothschilds, Bilderberg, talks about all that. So,
well, governments are always happy to expose the corruption of other governments. But China has a similar cartel running them. Jason, I appreciate your call, and I'm glad you like the free Alex Jones Show iPhone app. Did I tell you it's free, folks? Okay, that's it. I'm stopping. The joke's over. It is free, though. I'm not joking that it's free. Go find out for yourself, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, or go to the Apple Store, and it's free. Okay, I'm going to shut up. CW, Rick, Nate, Keith, and others, I'm going to you on the other side of this quick break. And then Ron Paul says the neocons have hijacked the Tea Party. And we'll also get into a host of other absolutely key stories that I have in front of me, and we have a guest coming up in T-minus 55 minutes.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
CW in Texas, thanks for holding her on the air.
Hey, Alex, thanks for taking my call.
Welcome.
I wanted to point out, you know, I listen to talk radio fairly often, more than I watch TV, because I just don't care about TV. But I noticed here in Houston, the callers that called in are definitely in favor of Ms. Medina, and it seems like Ms. Medina's campaign is the total opposite of what everybody's tired of, big money, big corporate influence. So that's why she's having such a great effect. But one thing I've noticed they're not saying is when to go vote for Ms. Medina, and that's March 2nd, Texas Independence Day. And, Alex, I was wondering if you could use your influence or your radio show from now till March 2nd, 5-10 minutes just to keep reciting that, you know, a little NLP in a good way to get people to know, hey, March 2nd, I got to go vote for. Because as our constitutional movement takes hold here in Texas, and as others will start to want to step out of the shadows and run in other states, and we can help each other become and start slowly taking this country back peacefully through the democratic process of electing true representatives that just want to get back to the basics, man. You know
what
I mean?
For those that don't know, they've got several national scientific polls that show her within 4 points to 3 points, and those numbers are 5 days old, surging, about to overtake K-Baby, and then she'll just be 5 points away from Perry, and early voting starts, in 8 days? If people can't do it, coming up on Texas Independence Day, March 2nd. So, yes, we're, you know, talking about just a few weeks from now, and this is going to be decided.
Yes, sir, you're right. And really, I truly feel that the establishment is running scared right now. You know, hell, 4 years ago, man, I didn't care about this stuff. I didn't know any issue about this whole giant thing called New World Order. But I have totally been on information overload, and I'm running on pure passion. And I think our supporters of Ms. Medina and other candidates that can build on her success that she's having here, those folks, the true grassroots, are running on pure passion. And you're right, man. They're going to definitely try to corrupt this movement. They're going to try to provocateur it. They're going to try to say, oh, my God, they're getting radicalized. No, we ain't getting radicalized. It ain't nothing like that.
Well, we need to be. Look, we have radical tyranny in this country, and they call true red-blooded American activity, they call that radical. CW, I appreciate your call. Here is the bottom line. You saw Brown get elected and take a Democrat-controlled seat that the Kennedys had held for decades that they said was bulletproof politically. But that was a Republican taking down a Democrat. From the beginning of the Tea Parties, 3 years ago, it's been against the Republicans and the Democrats and business as usual, and it's been an anti-New World Order, anti-Federal Reserve movement, and that's what Deborah Medina comes out of. And so if she can beat these Republican incumbents, a senator and a governor, in a primary, that's what the Dallas Morning News reported yesterday, along with several other publications, that she's already got higher poll numbers when stacked against the Democratic candidate. She will beat them. But Perry and the other incumbent senator may be beaten by the two joke Democrats, who are jokes. They're absolute jokes. I mean, I'll tell you right now, I'd probably vote for Rick Perry over the Democrats. They're that bad, ladies and gentlemen. Rick Perry's as bad as it almost gets. But he's not a gun grabber. He doesn't really defend the Second Amendment. He doesn't use his power to reverse things, but he isn't coming after your guns. So bottom line, if it goes into a runoff and Medina's kicked out somehow, I will vote for Rick Perry over Kay Bailey Hutchinson. I mean, she is that bad, ladies and gentlemen. And I will vote for Rick Perry over those Democrats because those Democrats are bad news, ladies and gentlemen. Super bad news. So the only real choice is Deborah Medina. And again, if we can take down these establishment Republicans, that will send the true message nationwide. This is a true populist uprising against incumbent globalist. Rick in Florida, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. I'd like you to update us in the 9/11 truth movement. What's our best chance for a new investigation? And can you pay particular attention in your comments to the situation in New York City? Is Mayor Bloomberg using his office and his money to stifle an investigation?
Yes.
What's going on? Yeah.
Yes, they've got all the petitions and for a city investigation, a state investigation. They blocked those. The city of New York with the feds are now demonizing the police, firemen, and medical workers and National Guard, who 3,000 have died. All the dogs died within 4 years. Just totally toxic, asbestos, concrete, glass pulverized, mercury pulverized, all those literally thousands of toxins and chemicals from those buildings that were vaporized into powder. And MSNBC and New York Post are saying, oh, they're a bunch of scum. They just are trying to get money. Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with them medically, even though we have the internal, from a month into 9/11, EPA assessment that it was deadly, and the White House ordered the head of the EPA to come in and say the air was clean within days, and it came out a month later. They knew and covered it up, and now they're doing the same thing. They will not take care of troops from Agent Orange. They will not take care of troops with depleted uranium. They will not take care of you if you get hurt. They only want to use you while you're oppressing the people. Once they're done with you, they're not going to take care of you because we have the internal Homeland Security documents. Who are the number one enemies of the New World Order? Who? Gun owners, returning vets, conservatives, libertarians. They hate our guts because we recognize the New World Order as the enemy. But look, Obama's not going to have a new investigation. Ron Paul has called for one. Congress wants everybody to forget about it and just use it for a police state. So we continue at the grassroots level in the court of public opinion to make films, write books, websites, interview guests as news comes out, exposing new false flag terror attacks. And so they can't use the tool of staged terror anymore. And so we've effectively done that. But I wouldn't hold your breath for government to ever come out and admit the truth. I appreciate your call, Rick. Nate in California, you're on the air. Okay, goodbye, Nate. Keith in Texas, you're on the air, Keith.
Hi, how's it going, Alex?
Good.
I just wanted to let people know that I have the video Kathleen Sebelius busted on YouTube on the Funkmaster 5 channel. That's the video of her admitting her and Rick Perry went to Bilderberg Group. It's a video proof for people who need it.
Kathleen Sebelius admits she went to Bilderberg Group?
Yeah, it's on tape on the Funkmaster 5 YouTube channel. She's basically confronted at a town hall meeting about it, and she has to talk about it.
But I thought Bilderberg Group didn't exist.
Oh, of course not. It's just it's crazy. She doesn't exist either. Kathleen Sebelius doesn't exist.
And Rick Perry doesn't exist, if they say so.
Nope. Yeah, it gets hot out here, so we have mirages that look like Rick Perry.
All right, bro, I appreciate your call. We'll check that out. Let's go ahead and talk to Kathy in Canada. Kathy, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good.
Good. Hey, your last caller was sort of appealing to you to use your influence, and I'm going to do the same. We're headed for trouble up here because people might not know it, but we don't have a government right now, hey? Our government has been suspended. It's prorogued during the Olympics. And that means that good old Stephen Harper can do anything he wants to if there's a terror attack, quote-unquote.
Yeah, let me break that down for folks that don't know. In 1979, the Parliament of Australia wasn't letting the prime minister grab a bunch of private property and pass a bunch of taxes. And so the elected government of the good old Aussies, all 20-something million of them, said no. And so the queen had her governor general dissolve the parliament. And what was it, 2 years ago, the parliament wasn't going along, or a year and a half ago, with the North American Union SPP expansion, or the open declarations that U.S. troops would be used in Canada, and they now are, and they're saying during the Olympics they will be. And so, yeah, I saw that in the Toronto Star and a couple papers last week. We briefly mentioned it. So Parliament has been suspended again by the Queenie. Anytime the Prime Minister wants, he just calls her up, and the Governor General, the real government, says, well, you puppets didn't do exactly what we said, and so you're under international control because you're a commonwealth of the Queenie, who doesn't supposedly have any power. And every time I read mainstream news articles out of Canada, Canadians email me and go, well, this is just a figurehead. She's not really in control. Oh, really? Oh, really? That's just why she does whatever she wants. But I guess your Governor General, he runs Canada. Tell folks about it.
Yeah, it's exactly the way you said it, and the Olympics were primed here with the Israeli security companies, the same ones that did 7-7, and they've got security for a new addition to the light rail that heads right into the Olympic Village. People can look at We Are Change Vancouver did a walking tour showing possible targets, and we're missing a whole bunch of explosive material, the same quote-unquote stuff that was used on your Frederick Merrill building. Tennessee McVeigh, you know, the fertilizer stuff, that's missing up here. And we got no government. We got a bunch of explosives missing. We got Israeli security. We got a police state going. And Steve Quayle's talked an awful lot about all kinds of foreign troops that are ready to just come marching across. So,
well, by the way, that's not just Steve saying that. I mean, that's in major Canadian papers that U.S. troops are going to be used. And a year ago in Canada, just like the U.S. did the same thing a year ago, they announced, oh, troops are going to start patrolling all the major cities and bar districts and helping with domestic disturbances and men and women fighting with each other. And all troops are just here. And remember Glenn Eagles during the G7, G8 meeting back in 2005. The government clearly staged that attack to coincide with that. And yes, I think Canada is a prime target for chicanery, skullduggery, and other forms of sneakiness by the establishment, because they're losing a lot of credibility right now, and they want to play the war card and the terror card, and they'd love to do it on an international stage like the Olympics. We'll be right back. When we come out of the next break live, we're going to start simulcasting the last 2.5 hours of this radio broadcast at PrisonPlanet.tv for PrisonPlanet.tv members. I'm going to be breaking down the battle within the Tea Party. We'll continue with phone calls as well and have a guest coming up in the next hour, wide open phones in the final hour. And I'm going to play some key clips from Fall of the Republic for folks out there. But right now, let's go back to the calls. Let's talk to Jason in North Carolina. You're on the air, Jason.
Hey, thank you, Alex. Thanks for having me on. I think the Tea Party movement is being hijacked so blatantly, obviously, by, you know, Fox News. It's just so obvious. I can't see how anybody wouldn't see it. But I did want to tell you just two quick stories. My wife was at the pool the other day, and she's talking to a woman. We live in North Carolina, and it's been one of the coldest winters we've had here in a long time, and a woman was complaining about it in the locker room, and my wife just kind of jokingly said, well, that's global warming for you, and the woman just kind of got almost kind of borderline psychotic on her and just started just basically kind of screaming at her that, yes, that is global warming, you know, that's why it's getting colder. And
Well, the San Francisco mayor came out and admitted that a San Francisco company produced the Audi Green Police ads where it shows them swarming, SWAT teaming, arresting people for taking hot baths, arresting people for the wrong light bulbs, for batteries, cops getting in trouble for styrofoam cups. and they're on a power trip. This is kind of the racial consciousness of control freaks. And that they're all on an incredible power trip of parasite behavior, and they know this is their time to run everything. And so these ads are like a battle cry for them to take over. And there's links on the Audi website that link to actual government regulatory agencies where they brag and say, we are actually arresting people for all this stuff. This is real. See, this is a psyop they're launching.
Yeah, Alex, it's very disturbing. I'm surprised how many people I found that found that ad to be humorous. I mean, I had nothing but, you know, disdain and just, you know, the ad disturbed me that they
were.
Well,
there's got to be 20 or more of the actual ads. They only get worse and worse. You can go to the Audi YouTube site and watch them. And they say the Green Police hit the streets February 7th, and they're running them all over the country. I mean, it is everything you see in those ads, checkpoints, everything, is what they're really already setting up.
That's like predictive programming, like you always say. But my wife was a little, she was disturbed by this woman. She was actually a little afraid of her. I mean, the woman just kind of became unhinged. But I'll tell you one other story, sir, and then
Let me just add this. Who do you think's going to be doing your home inspections? Who do you think's going to be brainwashing your kids? These are vicious brown shirt control freaks. These are dangerous scum. Here in Austin, you can't park an SUV at Zilker Park. They will bash your windows out and slice your tires. I mean, they're psycho control freaks. Go ahead.
Yeah, yes, sir. And then this last one, I mean, it does relate to gun control, but my brother lives back in Montana, and he has a friend that went over to fight in Iraq. And when he came back, he tried to buy a hunting rifle. This was about 3 months ago. And my brother said to me, well, you know, he couldn't buy the hunting rifle. And he's like, do you know why? And I said, yeah, I do know why, because he's a veteran. And he's like, oh, yeah, you're right. How did you know that? And I said, well, you know, he doesn't listen to you. And I say, well, I knew this a long time ago that they.
Yeah, no judge, no jury. You're millions of Americans on the list. And Clinton tried this in his last year in office in 2000. He gave the names of 87,000 troops with no conviction, no nothing, that couldn't own guns. And now most people I talk to that are vets suddenly can't buy firearms.
To have his brother go and buy the rifle for him.
Which they call a straw purchase, and it's a felony, and they want to put him in prison for it.
Well, they haven't done that. I don't know. I mean, again, this was not
too
long ago.
Don't watch out. They will come after him if he tells anybody that. He's not allowed as a veteran with no criminal record to own a gun. He has served the New World Order. They're afraid of him. He's the number one enemy in their secret documents, period.
Amen. Thank you for having me on.
But let me just ask you this, Jason. Did it wake him up now that he's a disarmed slave?
Well, it certainly woke my brother up somewhat. You know what I mean? And especially the fact that I knew why he was not able to purchase, you know, the hunting rifle.
What did they tell him? FBI says you can't. Sorry. Now get out of here.
Yeah. I mean, and again, this is in Montana. You know, this is in a small town of about, you know, roughly 7,000 people where he's.
Well, he's got to go through the procedures to block that, and there are procedures, okay? They're setting the precedent that they just ban you being able to own a gun when they feel like it. God bless you, Jason. But, of course, the NRA and others won't stand up for veterans because they're controlled opposition. I appreciate it, Jason. I'm ranting here because what he's talking about has been confirmed over and over again. They want your guns. You're the enemy. Do you understand?
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still. But nobody wants to know him, they can see that he's just a fool. And he never gives an answer, but the fool on the hill sees the sun going down.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. The next 2.5 hours of this 4-hour radio broadcast are being simulcast not just on the radio, but live in living color at prisonplanet.tv if you want to watch the television side of the live radio show with the document cams, the video clips, everything we do. Go to prisonplanet.tv. I'm going to get into the fact that the Tea Party movement is being taken over by the Republican Party, Tea Party Nation, and that Ron Paul really founded what is the modern Tea Party movement, and now even mainstream media is pointing that out. But first, I want to go to a clip to show you the true proto-Tea Party, or that that came before the birth of the Tea Party, the Patriot Movement in the 1990s, and a video clip from 1997 of myself and others in Austin cutting up a United Nations flag because they had a burn ban at the Capitol that day. Every year on 4th of July from 96 up until about 2000, we had time, we go down and burn UN flags at the state capitol. And the media did stuff like showing film footage of someone burning an American flag and then would cut to me, and then I'd get hate calls that I was burning American flags. That's the type of media spin and deception that's destroying the mainstream media and why they've lost almost all credibility. It's like local Austin News saying mercury is good for your children. But I wanted to let you know something about the free iPhone app. We launched a free iPhone app that has a little news feed on it that can be an alarm clock, that is a link to the live and archive streams. We're building a separate page it links to that has all the MP3s and podcasts. I want to tell you about our new free iPhone app and a huge development that took place to show you how popular this radio show is and why the government, Cass Sunstein at the White House, the regulations are, the UN, Microsoft's chief technology officer, and others are calling to censor the web, to make you have a net ID to get online. Cass Sunstein says ban criticism of the government, ban saying that man-made global warming isn't real, ban conspiracy theories. That means questioning anything they say. If you say Obama's healthcare plan is socialist, you're a racist, you're a conspiracy theorist. Tony Blair on Fox News said if you believe that they lied about WMDs, it's a conspiracy theory. If you say the sun comes up, it's a conspiracy theory. We launched this yesterday at 1 o'clock. At 1 o'clock, the new Alex Jones Show iPhone app, and give me a document cam shot for folks so they know what the real app looks like. There's some fakes out there that are charge money. We have links to get it for free at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And we also have the Flycast system up there for free for folks if they want to link through to it that don't have iPhones. We've had that for about a year. We're one of the number one shows on Flycast. But here is our specific app. Download it. You have the icon. Just touch and go. Very easy to use. And it works great.
Total control is being put into place. This film needs to be seen. Everybody needs to get it. So order yours.
See, it's about 3 minutes delayed today there, but it is the live show. We launched this yesterday, 23 hours and 24 minutes ago. It hadn't even been 24 hours yet. And it's now number 8. Number 8 on news apps, above the Philadelphia News, Fox News, AP Mobile, Huffington Post, and down way below that is the White House. The White House free app, paid for with taxpayer money. The Wall Street Journal, you name it, we are above them. Alex Jones Radio. Less than 1 day since we launched it, and it's already climbing the charts. At this rate, it's going to be number 1, I predict, by this weekend or next week at the latest. So very, very exciting. That shows the hunger for the truth. I saw an article about the New York Daily News out of the New York Observer last week that we covered here. And it broke down the fact that New York Daily News, which isn't even one of the worst mainstream media outlets out there, they actually do some good reporting. In 3 months, they got 35 subscribers to their news. No one wants what they have to say anymore. I mean, look at this. Less than 1 day, and we're closing in on the New York Times and Yahoo News and NPR Radio. Zeno Magazine is number 1. New York Times, number 2. Yahoo, number 3. NPR, number 4. USA Today, number 5. ABC News, number 6. Local news, weather, and more. For the whole country, number 7, and number 8, Alex Jones. And we'll tomorrow do a piece on this and see where we are, and we'll track it. Less than 24 hours, 23 hours, 22 minutes, and we are already beating the White House, and we're already beating Fox News. We're going to have the number 1 news app on iPhone by next week, or I'll eat my hat, or they'll engage in chicanery and knock us off or something. But very, very exciting. And the app is free at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, or go to the iTunes store. It's called the Alex Jones Radio app. It is free. Says it there. There's a few fakes out there that, whatever, that, you know, they're charging money and then people get confused by it. That's what the app looks like on the iTunes store. Alex Jones Radio, category news. Free. See? Free. F-R-E-E. Okay. Now, I want to go back to 1997, where Mike Hansen, Jeff Davis, and myself, and a couple hundred people, the camera shots are us on the stage, but if you look, it's a couple hundred people out there in the crowd, would go down to the Capitol every year and point out that 4th of July isn't about drinking beer and getting drunk and getting a DWI. It's about knowing what the Bill of Rights and Constitution is and how foreign governments have taken over our sovereignty. So here I am 13 years ago, and this is clips from that day live being played on local access TV with Rusty Fields and others. Here it is.
The movement here in Austin to get a show like his on nightly on a mainstream station such as KJFK.
Burn man. After this song, we're going to shred this human flag since there's a burn ban. Want to get a little bit of desecrate flag?
Okay.
That's an accursed symbol. We need somebody to come hold this flag when we shred it.
All right.
Let's all hold it. We say to tyranny in the United Nations.
Get it, Alex.
Death to the New World Order. Death to the idea of losing our sovereignty. We don't like this flag, and we're sick and tired of it. We stand for this country, and we will defend it. The United Nations is a tyrannical, authoritarian, propaganda arm and military arm of international control. And to it, we refuse to submit. That's all that's going to be left of the UN if they keep pushing their lies. The loss of U.S. sovereignty has gone too far. We'll fix to get another one. Where's Jeff Davis at? Death of the New World Order. Right there, baby. Yes. Yes. Tyranny's going down, baby. We know what the UN stands for. We're not going to stand for global tyranny. Yes. What a pleasure to burn that accursed symbol. What an absolute pleasure to shred that rag, that filthy rag, that United Nations.
The Supreme Court can rule whatever they want, but I rule the Supreme Court. Rusty rules the Supreme Court. Mike Hansen rules the Supreme Court.
Local television host Alex Jones and nearly three dozen others protested in front of the state capitol today. They object to what they believe is a loss of America's sovereignty to the United Nations. The group's members say the 4th is a perfect time to tell the public about a growing threat of a new world order. Many gather downtown to protest what they call a lie of current freedom in America. The event was led by international shortwave radio host Jeff Davis. The protest was held on the Capitol grounds.
Speakers say Independence Day is the perfect time to bring their message to Americans.
We're not going to perpetrate the lie that we're free and independent. We're countering the fact that thousands of people are going to be down here at Town Lake, drinking their beer and watching the fireworks when we've got, our Bill of Rights essentially has been flushed down the toilet.
Alex.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, listen,
the radio.
We wanted to do it on the air, but fortunately we couldn't do it. First of all, I want to congratulate you. I think it's excellent that you're going to be on KJFK every night now, so congratulations.
Yeah, 6 days a week, man.
Let freedom ring.
That's right.
Is Austin ready?
You bet. Mike has been busting his butt. I was supposed to put some stories together that Mike got, put them together with tags and voiceovers and things. Mike's just been busting his ass. And I'm going to get even more.
That's enough of this video. I hadn't even watched the whole thing. You can watch it. It's up at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Mike has hundreds of our old TV shows. Hundreds of them. We ought to put them all on YouTube because they're evergreen. You see what I was doing 15, 14, 13, 12 years ago, 11 years ago, 10 years ago. It all came true. You can take what we're talking about there and play it today, and it's exactly what's ongoing.
with this incremental tyranny. Now, that's the real foundation of the Tea Party. That's where it really started. All over the country, from Michigan to California to New York to Texas, similar people out standing up. Okay? Ragtag bands. That's what happened in the 15 years plus leading up to 1775, 1776, with the committees of correspondence out educating people. Small minority of people that had the truth. Now, 9/11 truth, about 6 years ago, started having tea parties to protest the fraud of 9/11. And then those grew into protesting the Federal Reserve and the New World Order. And then 3 years ago, the first tea party for Ron Paul was the idea of local Austin activists, not even mine, but we supported it and promoted it. And they had, the news reported, close to 1,000 people at one, 500 at another. They went on the Congress Street Bridge. It was all over the news. And then all over the campuses, they were called tea parties for Ron Paul. But really, if you can say one place it was all born, Austin, Texas is the first tea parties for Ron Paul. The first real tea party for 9/11, 6 years ago in Boston. 9/11 Truth and others in Boston, where they would throw copies of the 9/11 Commission report into the water. So that's what's really been going on and happening. Now fast forward to Ron Paul, and the neocons have taken over the main Tea Party. They call it Tea Party Nation, a corporation, and they're running people against Ron Paul in Texas. The Republican Party, the Democrats don't even oppose him. The Republicans don't want a real constitutionalist. Here's Rachel Maddow talking about it, then we'll play a clip of Ron Paul. Here it is.
Supporters of Congressman Ron Paul, back in December 2007, celebrating the 234th anniversary of the Boston Tea Party with rallies across the nation and an online money bomb that raised millions of dollars for Ron Paul's presidential bid in 2008. Congressman Ron Paul's candidacy was arguably the spiritual godfather of what's now become the Tea Party movement. The current figurehead of the movement, arguably, is Sarah Palin. She's endorsed Ron Paul's son, Rand, who was open-minded enough to make his Senate campaign announcement several months ago on this very show. Rand Paul, like his dad, is philosophically a libertarian, but he's running for office as a Republican. Weirdly, Congressman Ron Paul himself is now under attack from the very movement that he seemingly inspired. He's getting primaried in his district in Texas by not one, not two, but three Republican challengers, all of whom have associated themselves with the Tea Party movement by attending or organizing Tea Party rallies. They're each apparently hoping that the anti-incumbent fervor of the Tea Party movement will sweep Ron Paul out of office. Yes, Ron Paul, the conservative candidate who in 2008 was able to draw more than 10,000 supporters away from the Republican National Convention with his libertarian message to attend his own shadow convention in Minneapolis. He's now getting challenged by the supposedly libertarian-leaning conservatives that his presidential candidacy inspired. If they're not cool with Ron Paul, who are they cool with? Joining us now is Dave Weigel, the senior reporter.
Okay. Now let's go to, that was two nights ago. This is last night with Rachel Maddow at the intro of the piece with Sarah Palin saying the Republicans have got to take over the Tea Party. The same Republicans that tripled the size of government and expanded NAFTA and GATT, the North American Union, SPP. The same ones that lied about WMDs. The same ones that are, in many cases, going after our Second Amendment. The same people run by Wall Street, just like Barack Obama. Let's go ahead and go to this clip. Here it is.
The Republican Party would be really smart to start trying to absorb as much of the Tea Party movement as possible, because this is the future of our country. The Tea Party movement is the future of politics.
The Tea Party movement is a revelatory moment for us. It really puts in stark relief where the American people are, how they feel, and what they feel. And I think it's important for our party to appreciate and understand this so that we can move towards it, embrace it, and
but
then move
not.
Into the future.
That's the chairman of the Republican National Committee, and before him, the Fox News commentator they now say is the de facto leader of the Tea Party movement, arguing that the Republican Party's path back to power is that movement. That's the rhetoric. Well, today, rhetoric became reality in the state of South Carolina, where the state Republican Party and a coalition of state Tea Party groups agreed to work together moving forward. The merging has started. And the effort by the Republican Party to adopt and absorb what sells itself as a grassroots...
3 weeks ago, I had MSNBC here in my office with Chris Matthews. They understood none of this. I explained it all to them, and I said the Republican path to power is through the Tea Parties. They are word for word copying everything I said to them. And they claim in April they're going to air this hour-long documentary they plan to air, they said, at least 15 times. Chris Matthews makes these three times a year. His last one was about Kennedy dying. And so we'll see if they butcher what I had to say. But they couldn't even figure this out. No, I think they had it figured out. Because I told the media back in January of last year, 13 months ago, that there was no doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt in the universe that the Republicans were going to take over the Tea Party, were the first to call it. And the controlled corporate fake liberal media came in and said this is Republican Party run when it wasn't. And Lloyd Doggett wasn't being booed. It was all staged. And I explained and played clips of Perry and Cornyn in Texas and other Republicans being booed everywhere they went when they were trying to take over the Tea Party right at the beginning. But the media never told anybody that because they wanted to make it a partisan issue, phrase it and frame it as that. So Republicans would all run into it, thinking it was the thing to do to get the Democrats mad. That's how they control opposition. It's just like Bush being against global warming taxes made all the Europeans get behind it, thinking, well, it must be real. And then he bait and switched and came out for it. They manipulate you across party lines. Go to this next clip from Rachel Maddow with Ron Paul last night, where they further discuss the fact that neocons are hijacking the Tea Party movement. The totally discredited, hated, lowest approval rating for Congress ever of 11%, Cheney with a 9%, and they've now attached themselves as revolutionaries, as outside the box. And you see the Republican Party chairman Steele saying we must go to them, we must embrace them, we must do what they say, but that's not what's happening. At the Tea Party, we must attack Iran. We must keep the Patriot Act. We must keep the torture. We must continue. Obama needs to play the war card. Yay! Oh, yes! The dying empire! More of that! Here's Ron Paul.
You are being challenged in your re-election primary by several Tea Partiers. What is your relationship with the Tea Party movement now?
Well, it's about the same. Sometimes the Tea Party represents those views that I expressed during the campaign. The Tea Party type movement, the people who are unhappy with the government, where I go, generally are on the campuses, and we still get large crowds out. But my message is somewhat different. I think the message gets a little bit diluted when a lot of people come in and the Republican Party wants to make sure that maybe there's a neocon type of influence. But no, what we're doing with the Campaign for Liberty is alive and well, and the young people are responding. But I talk a lot about a different foreign policy. I talk about civil liberties, and I talk about where we ought to cut the budget, and this is what they want to hear. I talk about the war on drugs. This is not what is generally heard from the Republican Party, and sometimes the Tea Party accepts these ideas and sometimes they don't. But I think if the one thing that brings people together is they know there's something wrong in Washington, but you have progressive Democrats that know there's something wrong in Washington. They'd like a better foreign policy too, and they're not exactly totally satisfied. So, but the people are coming together because they're unhappy. They know that debt is
absolutely, and so the Republicans, who are just as bad, just as much controlled by offshore banks, in some cases even worse, they are now claiming they are us. That's what Glenn Beck, Sarah Palin, all of them. Glenn Beck, 2 days after I cover something, word for word, he covers it, but twist it. They're programming their shows off of this radio broadcast to fool you. And that's why they're so dangerous. Now, we're going to come back, take a few calls, and our guest is coming up. At the end of this hour, I wanted to remind listeners to remember, the public is now ready to be awakened. The public knows something is wrong. The public is concerned. They know global government's real now. It's been admitted. Now is the time to show them the videos that I've made and the other videos, the best videos I found that we sell at InfoWars.com, like Shadow Government. It's our best seller right now for films that aren't my documentaries. And I'm glad because it's so well produced. It's got Daniel Estulin in it. It's got G. Edward Griffin in it. It's got so many other people in it. It's a great film. Get it at InfoWars.com. We have it discounted. We have a deal where you can get free videos or T-shirts when you order it at InfoWars.com. You're not going to find deals this low anywhere for films like Shadow Government. Show it to your friends and family. Pre-orders are still going strong. It ships out next Monday, How Weed Won the West on DVD. It's really American Drug War II, exposing government drug dealing, the phony drug war, how the government ships it in as a pretext to launder the money and to have an excuse to put you in prison, as Ron Paul was just talking about, How Weed Won the West. Pre-order, it ships out next Monday. The classic endgame to know who the globalists are, what makes them tick, the number one film I've made, the entire globalist agenda, what they're doing, the left-right paradigm, Fall the Republic, InfoWars.com, or call toll-free 888-253-3139, or download all my films in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
In the next segment, we have a very important guest to get into the psychology of tyranny coming up. We're going to continue with your calls right now. Then I'm going to news blitz 40 minutes into this hour. And then have open phones throughout the next hour. Ton of news we haven't even gotten to yet. One of the top stories today is at PrisonPlanet.com. Scannergate. Facts contradict Heathrow claim that naked images can't be printed, with this movie star, TV star, saying they printed out his naked body and had him sign it. Some women there. And you have all these TSA people in the U.S., similar people in England, saying they're God, going crazy, hitting on women, groping people. This is par for the course. And they've been caught lying, saying they can't print or save images. That we know is a lie. And that's a key story that everybody needs to get out to everybody and needs to go viral right now. Let's go back to the calls. Who is up next here, John? All right, Step in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Mr. Jones, I called because today I wanted to thank you for putting up this story about the national emergency. I will admit that's probably the best overall story about it I've seen anywhere. So I'd like to congratulate you on that. I also want to get to the end of the second part of what I was saying the other day. This is the foundation of the entire NWO, the UN, the IMF, the World Bank, the BIC, the whole deal.
Yeah, that's how they operate outside of the Bill of Rights and Constitution, is they declare emergencies inside governments they control, and that's how the shadow government is in control.
Yes, sir, but we have the same thing going on worldwide, and let me explain to you. If you look at the UN Charter at Article 53 and 107, it describes there the sole reason, the only reason for the UN's existence is to wage war on what they define as the Axis. This is why George Bush is running around saying, you know, the evil Axis countries, the Axis of this. He was using that to empower him through the UN Charter. So once the war versus the Axis is over, the UN must disband.
Yes, it's a War Powers Act. It's a War Powers Act, Step. I appreciate your call. Ted in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex, I have a question and I have a comment.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, the question is, I'd like to know what you think about Sarah Palin throwing his support behind Rand Paul. And then I'd like to know what your interpretation of him accepting her endorsement is? That's my question, and then I have a comment later.
Well, she has endorsed hundreds of candidates, and the neocons jumped on her last week and put me in articles concerning it, where Rand Paul said, I'm widening my base, widening what I have to say, you know, to be more palatable to the general Republican Party to basically win. And he has said that if we're attacked and we had a specific enemy, that, you know, we should have gone after Saudi Arabia if they supposedly did 9/11 instead of Iraq. And so they spun that to say he's being deceptive, being a little bit more mainline Republican to get elected. And I said, well, you know, do you agree with your father basically 100%? And he said, yes. And so the neocons are going after him, and they're mad that Palin endorsed him, and they're trying to get that endorsement removed. But you see her true colors going after Medina, trying to prop up as she surges and is about to eclipse him. I mean, she's got a good chance of winning now. I mean, I think Rand Paul's great. Now, if he gets in and goes sideways on us or something, I'll have to come out against him. But I don't think that's going to happen. We should support Rand Paul for the U.S. Senate.
Yes, I was a little confused by the, you know, non-support for Medina and then the support for Rand. So I guess we'll just have to watch that. And then my comment is I called back a while ago. I really encourage all the musicians out there to make music videos in the subjects that you deal with, because I think that's a good alternate way to get the message out. I made a music video I'd like to plug. It's called The Ballad of Alex Jones. It's a 5-minute anthem jam, and it's on the YouTube Matrix portal. It's called The Ballad of Alex Jones.
Wow.
Please check
it
out.
We'll go to YouTube and check it out. Thank you. We're out of time. Call back again.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We launched our new free Alex Jones radio show app yesterday, and it's already number 8 on the iPhones app in the news section. At current rates, it will eclipse by next week the number 2 and number 1 spot of the New York Times. The free app to listen how you want, when you want, where you want on your iPhone is at Infowars.com, a link to the subsection so you don't have to search for it at the iPhone store. Of course, for over a year, we've been listed as the top news radio talk show on Flycast that has hundreds of stations and shows, so you can listen on any cell phone with that system. But this is easy. Just get the app. You've got it. We're adding a news feature to it, news tickers. It's got an alarm clock, a bunch of other features. It's got a big back end we can add things to. It's already got a bunch of features, and that's free. About 5 weeks ago or so, we had Max Keiser on the show, and he was talking about learned helplessness. And he was reading from an article, "Are Americans a Broken People? Why We've Stopped Fighting Back Against the Forces of Oppression." And then I had a chance to see Dr. Bruce E. Levine on Max's TV show, so we got him on the broadcast today, because I've read so many corporate documents. One of the best examples was in 2001. They had a RFID summit in Chicago with Gillette, the Pentagon, and others saying, how do we force everybody to accept RFID and every can of beans, every razor, all your tires, tracking everywhere you go? We'll make the real world like a Google searchable system where everything's tracked. And they said, our internal studies show 87% don't want this, but it also shows we can create a sense of brokenness or desperation where they just submit once we break through these barriers. So they know what they're doing. And the naked body scanners recording you and your children's genitals, lying about it, saying they don't record it. Now it's admitted they do record it in the TSA's own documents. It's all about a journey into total enslavement. Now the chief of police in Austin takes blood without warrants. They do it all over the state of Texas. I mean, under a federal grant. In England, they come up and do random checkpoints and ask you if you're a terrorist. We're being bathed in tyranny. Bruce E. Levine, PhD, is a clinical psychologist and author of Is Surviving America Depression Epidemic? How to Find Moral Energy and Community in a World Gone Crazy. Dr. Levine has been a private practice since 85 and has presented talks and workshops to diverse organizations throughout North America. He's also the author of Common Sense Rebellion, Taking Back Your Life from Drugs. That's a good psychologist. Shrinks, Corporations, and the World Gone Crazy. And 2003, and he was recently authored the chapter Troubled Children and Teens, Common Sense Solutions Without Psychiatric Drugs and Manipulations for Alternative Beyond Psychiatry, Peter Lehman Publishing, 2007. Dr. Levine has been a regular contributor to Z Magazine, Alternet, and his articles and interviews have been published in numerous other magazines. He is an editorial advisor for the Icarus Project, Freedom Center, Harm Reduction Guide to Coming Off Psychiatric Drugs, on the editorial advisory board of the Journal for Ethical Human Psychological and Psychiatry. Bruce Levine is his website spelled Bruce, LEVINE.net. And we again appreciate him joining us. Maybe I should keep him the whole hour if he's got time. I did just have him to 40 after because I want to talk some about the mass drugging of the population and then how these synthetic drugs in many studies are more dangerous than heroin and cocaine. And now they're saying pregnant women are all mentally ill, and if you have a car wreck, you're mentally ill, and everybody's got to be drugged. But that's a separate issue from this type of broken population who've capitulated. I kind of took issue with Max Kaiser on the TV show when he said, you know, Alex Jones tells you all these problems, where are the solutions? All we talk about is taking our states back, shattering the left-right paradigm, empowering people, how you can stand up. All we are is solutions. But I also believe the biggest solution is really discrediting the system and really bringing people to grips with just how ruthless and sociopathic and in some cases sadistically psychopathic elites that have been competing with each other in a kind of survival of the fittest race towards the most corrupt, manipulative, and silver-tongued getting into control. And we see that throughout human civilization in the last 10,000 years. Doctor, thanks for coming on with us.
Good to be on your show, Alex.
Okay, you got the floor. Break down this article, Are We a Broken People?, and then how this has happened and how we empower ourselves.
Okay, well, a lot of things that I think a lot of folks probably have a reflex, a healthy reflex, that anything a psychologist has to say is like, well, this is just going to be some elitist psychobabble. And I think that's a healthy reflex. So let me just preface what I'm saying is that there are some, a lot of the kind of elitism in this, my whole profession, has to do, some of it's outright lies, but a lot of it has to do with trying to make stuff that's just basic common sense into using professional jargon to make it sound like it's some kind of special inside information. So let me just talk about a few things that are important when you're trying to understand how you break a population that are just basic common sense. One is this whole idea of learned helplessness, which I guess a bunch of my colleagues had to go through a whole bunch of studies shocking dogs to discover that if you put a dog in a situation where they've got no control over their shocks, you know, they're going to get into a depressed, helpless state versus a dog who gets to, you know, have some control over their shocks, and they're going to not be so depressed. This is basic common sense stuff. If you've got no control over your situation, if all you get to do every year, for example, specifically, is to choose between a Democrat who pushes corporate control and senseless wars, a Republican who pushes corporate control and senseless wars, or you get to vote maybe for a third party and then the Democrat and Republican wins, or you don't vote, and in any case you always get corporate control and senseless wars, you move into a kind of state of learned helplessness. Okay, that's all that really means. Another, I think, important concept, again, common sense stuff for any of you out there who have ever been in an abuse syndrome or know anybody in it, is you realize that there, you get to a certain point where you've been kind of beat up and allowed yourself to stay in a relationship too long, whether this is with another human being or with an institution or with a government, that you go too far and you get broken. So in other words, you get to a situation where you know the truth. Okay, you know the truth that, for example, the guy or the woman that you're with is physically, emotionally, sexually abusive. You cannot leave. You're too weak. Or you're in that situation in your corporation, in your business, you know that about your boss, but you've gotten yourself so weak that you cannot leave. Or that, in fact, happens, I think, for citizens in a society who actually, more and more people don't even call themselves citizens in the U.S. anymore. They call themselves consumers, customers. I mean that, you know, and so you get to a certain point, which I'm concerned of, that has already happened here in the United States is that we do have a broken population, and that we get to a point where the truth is inspirational for some people. It is energizing for some people. It is, you know, helps them, you know, but not for everybody. This is not Thomas Paine's colonial America, where you had a guy like Thomas Paine taking the courage to write a book called, you know, a pamphlet called Common Sense. And then, you know, knowing the population knew that how much guts that took, because if they caught him, they would hang him. And, you know, hundreds of thousands of people read it, and it's inspired them. This is not this kind of society anymore. Most of those colonials were not broken people, okay? And we have a society today where, unfortunately, you know, truth does not set people a lot free. And that's what happens when you have an abused, broken population.
Well, I agree with you, but I've read well over 100 books on the revolutionary period and the 15 years before that I think is even more important. And I know it was 1% that started it, 3% in the middle of the war, 5% by the end. Really, 80% kind of sat out, and the British had about 15% supporting them. And if you even look at bad revolutions, like the communists or the Nazis, they were only 5% at the start. So, you know, my message is good revolutions, bad revolutions against corruption or tyranny, or fake revolutions into more tyranny. It's always a minority that changes the world. Look at abolitionists in 1800, maybe 2% of the population. 66 years later, slavery is, you know, basically over, but other forms of it continued. So my issue is, hey, half the people here on this show may get even more helpless. I'm not looking for them, Doctor. I'm looking for those that have the spirit of 1776.
Well, that makes sense. We're not in any disagreement, Alex. I mean, that's what I totally, you know, if you're not completely broken, truths are going to energize you. So, for example, you mentioned the abolitionist, John Brown. You know, his dream was he's going to go ahead and confront the U.S. government in the most direct way possible, and that's going to inspire a slave revolt.
Well, a military attack, yeah.
Yeah, it never happened, but it did inspire a lot of other people. It was highly energizing for some people who were on the fence there, or close to feeling like this was a great idea. So I think that's an important thing if you're going to think about this thing psychologically, is that you have to kind of gauge your population and, you know, for example, not waste time with a completely broken population, that in some ways not only aren't you going to energize them, but if you've ever hung out with anybody who's in an abuse syndrome on a personal level, that not only don't you energize them by telling them that their spouse is an abusive idiot, you know, you can shame them. You can make them feel, put them even in more pain. And, you know, pain for me is the source of why people get depressed and apathetic. If people are overwhelmed by enough pain, they shut down. They just drink alcohol. They use, you know, drugs. You know, they'll get depressed. And so you have to gauge your population who you're talking to.
Well, I agree with you. And I do know that the truth has a unfortunate byproduct. But it's worse, though, I think, for people that never even know that truth, but subconsciously kind of based in this really sick, dying culture. I mean, there's no doubt we're as decadent as anything the planet's ever seen. And I find a lot of people get depressed, but then years later, it's almost like a delayed time bomb. I see some of the apathetic later come out of it.
Right. That's true. That's absolutely true. There are certain times, and it's much easier to kind of gauge this on a personal level than it is when you're speaking in mass to this large audience that you and I are talking to right now. But there are definitely some people right now out there who are just, you know, listening, and they've never heard a psychologist, for example, say that most of what my profession is doing out there is to kind of either A, make money off of them, or B, be kind of a police, part of the interpersonal police for the established order to control them. I mean,
I agree. Things. Stay there. We got a break. Amazing. Stay there, Doc. I got to say something. People have been emailing me. Jim Cramer is not our advertiser. It's a Genesis advertiser. And I guess we're getting so big that Jim Cramer's ad agencies come to us. This is the guy calling for world government last week and saying the Illuminati's good. Talk about a face in the crowd. I mean, give me a break. Ever seen that movie, Face in the Crowd? Jim Cramer, give me... I'm going to shut up right now. Short segment, long segment coming up. I'm going to go ahead and keep our guest the whole hour. This is just too powerful, what Dr. Bruce E. Levine, PhD, is saying. Okay, I've got a few questions, and I want you to roll with what you're saying about psychiatry, psychologists being this enforcement arm. It's separate from people just getting desperate and submitting to abusers in government or personal relationships or in work. There's even more extreme things like the Stockholm Syndrome, obviously, where people defend their oppressors. They do a little Crime Stop Orwellian trick of saying, I like the abuse. It's good. It keeps me safe, as almost like a psychological evolutionary system to make them not feel bad and to love their servitude.
Sure. I mean, you have to kind of justify why you haven't escaped, right? I mean, it's one of those kinds of things in life where if you haven't, you realize at some level it's humiliating to be controlled, to be enslaved, to be dominated. And so if you don't extricate yourself from that situation, you have to tell yourself all kinds of things. Another fancy psychological term, which again is common sense, is something called cognitive dissonance, which is just a jargon term of saying that people don't like to be in a state of tension. And so they'll do things to escape that state of tension. For some people, they'll escape an abusive situation. For other people, they will tell themselves they're not in an abusive situation. That's what a lot of the U.S. citizenry does. That's what you hear from Republicans, Democrats, school teachers, mental health professionals. You hear that all the time. It's their way of, like, justifying why they're not rebelling. You know, even though, you know, I could give you example after example, or just, and you can too, where it's just obvious that we're in some kind of a tyrannical, non-democratic, not even a republic here, but people just do nothing, and the reason why they have to do that is they, you know, justify it with all kinds of stuff. It may not be great here, but we're still living in the greatest country in all the world, and all these kinds of other statements like that, which are, you know, evidence of people just so not wanting to deal with the humiliation of tyranny and slavery that they have to tell themselves all kinds of lies.
And meanwhile, a major university last year rated the U.S. as the sixth worst police state in the world, and I talk to French, British, other people who won't even come here now because they know what a police state is. They're going into one as well, and we're losing most of our tourism, and still people say, no, we're free, we're free.
Right. Right. It's sad. I mean, one of the kind of things that really got me thinking about how sort of sad it was that after the 2000 election, which again, I'm certainly disliked with a passion George W. Bush, and was no fan of Al Gore. But the reality was after that election, that a Supreme Court justice, you know, says basically this is a sham. He said that we don't know who the hell really won here, that nobody should have any confidence in the rule of law. These are the paraphrasing of what Justice of John Paul Stevens said. And, you know, you would think in any kind of country at all, any kind of nation, where you have 50, 60 million people voting for a guy, you know, and they realize they got just totally screwed, totally disenfranchised, you would have a major population out on the streets. I mean, that's what you saw in Iran. Right? You saw that in Iran. You saw up to 3 million people in Iran upset about their election fraud. You saw it in Mexico. And what's happening here in the United States here is, why is it that when we have our election jokes, our pseudo-democratic processes, we have even less guts, less courage to get out there than these other societies which we make fun of here in America as banana republics or as total tyrannies? Why do they have more guts, more courage than we do?
Coming up, I want to get into the psychiatric/psychological system. I mean, obviously, you can get a pastor, or there are a lot of good psychologists who actually help people who are loving, but you also get a lot of control freaks, a lot of people that end up abusing their patients, and you talk about them being enforcers for this oppressive system. I've had Psychology Today and John Gartner, and he wrote an article saying, basically, I'm a schizophrenic. There's no world government. I'm lying about everything. And when you really read his piece, it is what is mentally ill or purely deceptive. I mean, if he really believes the things he's saying about me, here's an example coming up after the break. Tony Blair was on Fox News yesterday and said it's a conspiracy theory that they lied about WMDs. They just use that term conspiracy theory for anything now, anything questioning the government.
Right. I mean, we've got a long history, my profession, of pathologizing, medicalizing things that we don't like, that create some havoc, don't go along with the official order. I mean, it goes back to, there were doctors in the South before the Civil War there who viewed slaves who fled. They had some kind of mental illness. Why would they want to leave a plantation? I mean, if they didn't have a mental illness, and you have, I mean, just very reasonable.
Stay there, Doc. Long segment coming up. We'll break it down. We'll be right back.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little.
A lot has gone into North America's cow-like apathy, the slovenly sloth-likeness that we've turned into. We've been decadent. We've had it really good for a long time, and that always leads to weakness. We've been spoiled our children. We haven't gone through adversity. People don't appreciate things. I think the most important thing of a cornucopia of factors, and I want Dr. Levine to talk about this because I've read his writings and really think it's very piercing, and right along my own research just from studying this and watching it and being part of it, the process of awakening people, that Madison Avenue, and I've read Bernays' two books, I've read many other books by the big modern fathers of advertising and propaganda, and most people know this, but they don't consciously put it into their decision-making every day, and people don't think about it. But most people know that Madison Avenue learned about 100 years ago to make you feel inadequate. So they choose a body type, on average, that women don't look like. For thousands of years, the full-bodied, voluptuous figure was the most beautiful in every culture. It's what I like. It's what men like. I don't like what modern porn has done in a lot of ways, but in one respect, it has brought back the real figure men like. You know, the market has shown they don't want some skinny heroin head. But Madison Avenue chose that because then women will feel inadequate and they could sell them all the cosmetics, the drugs, the diets. Edward Bernays, they had women with cigarettes at rallies. They paid them to smoke cigarettes at meetings where women were trying to get voting suffrage, their voting rights. And so because it was a good cause overall, because they were smoking cigarettes and the cigarette manufacturers funded that, they tied it into fake rebellion. But bottom line, they make you feel inadequate, men, women. Then they can give you a false image of what it is to be a strong man or woman, which actually makes you feel even less empowered. And then people just keep doing more and more of what the system says. And so people don't see themselves as leaders. They don't see themselves as trailblazers. Our role models aren't inventors and civil rights activists and scientists and trailblazers and explorers as America's icons had been previously. Now it's some drug addict athlete, or it's some drug addict actress, or it's some the image makers know what they've done. And they've told you, if you're not 22 and a blonde, or you're not, a 25-year-old basketball star, you have no worth. And the children are all given false dreams of being something that one out of 10,000 are going to be able to do, or maybe one out of a million in some cases, to be a movie star. And so people feel pathetic about themselves. So how could they stand up and be leaders? Going back to Dr. Levine. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two really insidious forces working at the same time. One is that there's what you're talking about, just kind of making people feel bad about their basic humanity, pathologizing, medicalizing, diseasing, doing all these kinds of things to make people's, feel like who they are is something problematic. One thing happens off of that is that there's a lot of money to be made off of that, certainly in my profession, and I can go through that with you. There's also what ends up happening is as folks are making money, the powers to be get to have a more kind of compliant population who feels lousy about themselves. So it's in the total interest of the kind of corporate authoritarian kind of society that we have here that gets spread, and that's why it will not be confronted in any kind of on any kind of mass media. I mean, for the obvious thing is that they're being supported by commercials by all of these kinds of different companies that are selling it. But on another level, it won't be confronted by any of the powers to be that are on top of this whole hierarchy here, because, you know, at some level they want a population not really feeling too good about themselves. That's not a population that's going to rebel.
Is this not a corporate psychological dictatorship we're living under?
Well, it has been for a pretty long time. I'll give you one little story here. The father of the American Psychiatric Association, literally. I mean, if you took a look at their image, that adorns the American Psychiatric Association seal. It's a guy named Dr. Benjamin Rush. You know, he's like signed the Declaration of Independence. And so he's, you know, they're real proud of him. Well, what this guy did was, in addition to many other crazy, treatments that killed a lot of people, I mean,
Including George Washington.
Yeah. I mean, one of his illnesses that he came up with was something called anarchia, which he defined as, quote, an excessive passion for liberty. And it constituted for him a form of insanity. So for him, certainly anybody who at the time who was upset about the American Revolution going in the way of a more centralized, totalitarian kind of society that we've ended up with here today, was that anybody who confronted that, they had some kind of disease called anarchia. And throughout the whole history of my profession, you'll see that. And so today, I mean, more and more people, I used to say this, and guys like you who were interviewing me, they think I'm making this up, that I'm being... it was being sarcastic, but more and more people are hip to the idea that there actually is an illness today in my business called oppositional defiant disorder, ODD. And this is not an arcane diagnosis. It's given often, and kids are behaviorally modified.
No. John Gartner on the phone was basically telling me I had this.
That you had ODD?
Yeah, I mean, basically, I'm and schizophrenic.
Well, let me tell your audience, I would doubt that there's one member of your audience there who does not have the symptoms of ODD. I sure as heck am proud to have it. I mean, some of the symptoms that they call an illness are, one, often argues with adults. Two, often refuses to comply with adults. I mean, you know, often gets upset and angry with adults. I mean, these are the symptoms of an illness. And, you know, that's the one of the more obvious so-called psychiatric, you know, so-called illnesses that's clearly a form of rebellion. But if you take a look at almost everything else that has been labeled as a illness or a pathology or, you know, throughout the history of my business, it's really either an overt or a covert form of rebellion. And of course, there's much more money, you know, to be made by labeling an illness, especially nowadays when you drug everything, and pharmaceutical companies are making a ton off of people's problems and off of people's rebellions. But it's also in the benefit for the whole culture and society. If you could drug every rebellious kid out there, if you could drug everybody out there who's depressed because their life is miserable here because there's no freedom, there's no justice, there's no autonomy. You know, if you can drug all of them, well, not only is there a ton of money to be made out of it, but you quash rebellion.
Absolutely. Now, pulling back from this, I want to get into solutions from your deep research on these subjects, but I also wanted to just have the parallel to the pimp game. It's the same way a pimp breaks a whore. And, you know, they ask the pimps on television, what do you pay your girls? I pay them nothing. They're lucky if I give them a Happy Meal or some Kentucky Fried Chicken. And these women are just groveling and begging to these guys and worshiping them and saying, I want to do more, 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 more. And you look at the way the government and all its corruption, all the bad things it does, it's the authority. It's the officials. You know, we are now the servants of the government. It's literally the government is a pimp and we are now their whore.
Well, it seems that way. I mean, people are getting less and less and less, and whatever they've got is being threatened to be taken away from them, and people are just reacting like passively. I guess that's the way it is. I guess that's what always happens. So that kind of psychology that you're describing is actually, it seems like it's happening.
Well, how do we recreate 1776 in a peaceful way? Because the media always demonizes protests, puts them in free speech zones, hires provocateurs on record to engage in violence in front of news cameras so they can then attack the peaceful crowd. We know that's how they're keeping people from getting out on the streets and involved, and they admit they're spying on everybody now. So there's this overall chilling effect. Somebody like myself, and I never thought of myself as particularly a tough guy or even rebellious, I don't want to be a slave. I don't want my children to be a slave. I know the great value is property rights and freedom and all of this. And I know an Orwellian police state when I see it, because I've studied a lot of history. Early on, I found it to be entertaining, is the reason I got deeply into history even in high school. But now those that know history are not doomed to repeat it, I guess, the reverse of what Lord Acton said. So expanding on that, what are some of the solutions you've found to get people who are in apathy or who are in learned helplessness or who are in cognitive dissonance to unwrap their minds from this corruption and start standing up? I mean, my best experience is to teach them. We have this hero image of an Arnold Schwarzenegger in the movies or a Clint Eastwood fixing it all. John Wayne, one guy comes in and does it. But really, it's small decisions and valuing yourself and not making them let you feel insecure and pathetic and setting your priorities and helping others. I have found that that's how you can build people with small steps up to see their power.
Right. At one level, I mean, and this, again, I've written a few books and got many, many different ideas and solutions there, but I'll try to kind of distill it to a few things here. If you take a look at the great kind of democratic movements, and there have been in our society, and we've had a people's party, we've had a populist movement, and you take a look at what was going on there, you know, what you had was people who had individual self-respect and what we call collective self-confidence. They had some faith and they had some trust in other people. Okay, those are your key ingredients. And so, what does that mean? You know, for anybody out there who's listening, what can I do here at any given time, each day here, that restores some of my self-respect here? You know, that gives me even more self-respect. That's going to give me strength. What can I do each day that gives me more confidence and trust with those people around me? What can I do to help myself? What can I do to help other people? I'll give you one interesting, it is the least interesting for me, example of a population that you would think out there is going to be one of the most broken of populations, most difficult to restore this, and who's pulled it off. There's a group of folks that, you know, who've contacted me off of my writing, especially when I wrote Common Sense Rebellion, who call themselves psychiatric survivors. And I had never heard this term up until, say, about 1993, 94. And so they explained to me that what they were people who, when they were going through some tough times in life, you know, especially in their adolescence or, you know, early adulthood, and they had, you know, they really were overwhelmed by pains in their life, and started acting a little bit bizarrely, that they were kind of taken captive by psychiatrists, and instead of people caring about them and letting them just chill out and move through a tough stretch in their life, they were put in forced treatments, psychiatric hospitals, forced drugging, in some cases, forced electroshock.
Oh, I had countless friends in Dallas who would have banker dads, insurance salesman dads. They'd be playing football on the team. They would catch them when they were 15 with one joint, and they put them in facilities and straitjacketed them, drugged them. And when they came out, man, they got tattoos, got on hard drugs, and were gone. They
right.
actually went the opposite way.
Right, yeah, and a lot of people go all kinds of ways. One is that what you're describing, some people just become captive to the system for life, okay, and just, you know, buy into their diagnosis, buy into their illness, you know, go on a social security disability, and, you know, just kind of, you know, that's their path. But there's another kind of group, an interesting kind of group. A lot of these folks probably would, you know, all define themselves as anti-authoritarians. Some of them libertarians, probably more of them would define themselves as anarchists. But there's significant populations of these folks that I ran into. They've asked me to come and speak. And, you know, one of the things that I found that they did, and, you know, really instructive thing is that what they realized was, is that we are going to take our problems and not hand them over to authorities anymore. That, in other words, that's what we're, one of the major socializations in our society is like, if you've got any kind of problems, call in an authority. Okay?
Specialist.
What's that?
The new priesthood, specialist.
Right. And of course there's all kinds of problems to that, but the one thing that I hadn't thought about that they taught me was that you're losing a chance, an opportunity by giving your authorities away to these, you know, to these faceless interpersonal money making authorities. You're losing the opportunity to use that problem that you have to connect with other people. And that's exactly what these psychiatric survivors did. Form their own communities. They don't need psychiatrists. They don't need psychologists. They form their own communities of support, of empathy, of learning, you know, of all the kinds of things that you would get, you know, that would restore what I talked about, individual self self-respect.
And then again, shifting gears, Doctor, I want to go back into solutions with you. Here's an example. The Tea Parties are libertarian / constitutionalist and real liberals who know the Democratic Party's bad news. And then the Republican Party comes in and just takes it over. That's an example of how they don't want us having our own community. Here's another. I go to an event. It's all basically my people there. They run psyops, run over just, you know, five of them out of 300, get in my face, make a big event out of it, select videos out just to make it look like I'm the bad guy to destroy trust in me. And I read whether they're doing this through jealousy or COINTELPRO. Then I go and I read the COINTELPRO 2,000 pages of documents and army warfare manuals on doing them. Go into different activist groups in the U.S. attacks, blame it on them. Go into... different activist groups in the U.S. turn everybody against any organization that gets any size or power. So the real mark of a real organization is that the system is going to come after it. And the system knows they want to keep us all balkanized and separate and fighting with each other.
Right. And within any organization, unfortunately, you're going to always have folks who are willing to sell out for more power, for more prestige, for more money. And that's what, you know, we've been very good at, the kind of corporate government partnership domestically and internationally, is finding those people who are willing to sell out their people. And I guess, you know, in the folks who really were genuinely caring about a government control and had real kind of moral, ideas about what the Tea Party was going to do for them, you know, that they should not have been surprised that a bunch of warmongers from the Republican Party were going to come in there and try to rip them off.
And now there's a big fight inside the Tea Party, and the Republicans are saying, you don't belong here, get out, and they're running three people against Ron Paul right now with Republican Party money.
Well, you know, from what I'm hearing here with Ron Paul was that he was smart enough to sort of realize, you know, that the Tea Party movement was going to be, you know, deeply problematic because it was drawing together people who just did not dislike government control. That there were a lot of folks from the get-go in there, unfortunately, who were racist. I hate to say it, but that's true. You know, there were people in there who were just, you know, chauvinistic, flag-waving Americans. There were a whole bunch of groups in there who just were, you know, who were, you know, against abortion, you know, against the, you know, liberty of a woman to, you know, there were a whole bunch of different
point is it was balkanized
there.
It was balkanized,
right?
And so that's why he's got Campaign for Liberty. That is his views.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, my whole issue is I believe it's a civil right for the unborn, but I understand it's become a political football issue. But I don't get mad at people that disagree with me on political views. But my whole issue is we know that they want to balkanize. They want to divide groups. Anybody who's a radio host or a website person who all they do is fight with other people and attack other people and stir up fights, that is somebody working for the system. And you see the Democrats wanted to make the Tea Parties all about Republicans. It became a self-fulfilling prophecy, and that's what the power structure wanted because the two parties really work together.
Right. I mean, that's right. And that's part of the problem, you know, that folks get manipulated into kind of bickering on relatively minor issues here. I mean, I'm sure somebody out there who, you know, really, you know, cares passionately about whether, you know, gay marriage should be allowed or, you know, gay civil, you know, union is good enough or all of these kinds of issues. But these are the powers to be are always going to pick divisive issues and have people who the majority of people care about, you know, getting rid of corporate
and then
control.
And then never resolve it.
Right.
Stay there. By the way, we've got them in. How we've won the West, exposing government drug dealing, narcotics trafficking, how they bring it in to launder the money, and as an excuse to legalize slavery again when you use any of these drugs. They then get to put you in their private prisons, predominantly owned by the big banks that launder the drug money. So the drug dealers get to use their drugs and they put you in their own prisons. CIA drug dealing, all of it available at InfoWars.com. Ships out next Monday. How we've won the West that I'm in and consulted on. It's excellent. Also, you can pre-order Jesse Ventura's new book, American Conspiracies. It's excellent. We'll be shipping it first in early March. Pre-order it now. You can get free films when you order it. Check out those deals at Infowars.com. Our guest will be with us into the next segment. Really appreciate him having this big discussion with me today. And I know it's informative for myself and for you out there listening. I've always told listeners that there's also another byproduct of the government lying and corporations lying. Then there's a total loss of faith in everything. People stop researching. They just don't believe anything. And society collapses. Look at Mexico. Look at North Korea. Mexico's so corrupt. They have three times the resources we have. But the culture of corruption, people just lay down and don't produce anything. That's how they keep from being robbed. That's why the Soviet Union collapsed. I tell you that there's COINTELPRO trying to discredit me, anybody else that's good. You know you're good, though. You know the world's only going to be better if you get involved and lift other people up. You know you can trust yourself. So take action. Don't get involved in all the infighting and the bitterness and everything that gets pushed in this culture. Now, going back to our guest, sir, we look at all this. What are some other solutions you found to get people out of their desperation, out of their capitulation to corruption?
One of the things that I've learned over the years in terms of what has helped me and what has been helpful for people I've known and worked with is that asking themselves, like, what are they doing really is a healthy risk? And usually, you know, risks build some strength for people. So, you know, there's certain things when you are, like, speaking truths in certain areas, you are definitely taking some risks. You know, certain times where I'm telling colleagues, you know, who already get what I'm talking about, it's just a kind of fun conversation. It's enjoyable to do. Maybe it builds some community. But there's other situations where you're in a situation where you're going to pay a certain price for it, a political price, an economic price, and you're going to do something there, then you're going to take a certain risk, and that's going to build a certain degree of self-respect. So I think generally, you know, what can you do out there to kind of like build yourself some support? How can you kind of eliminate people in your life who really don't get it, will never get it, and are really going to be trying to undermine you and abuse you and make you feel less? And how are you going to find people out there who are going to be, you know, validating, supportive?
So you're saying don't put up with backstabbers and backbiters and really negative people. Get a better peer group, get into a group of healthier people, and challenge yourself. Don't just preach to the choir. Go out there and build your confidence.
Those are a couple of major areas, yes.
Continue.
Well, I think just in general, you know, specifically, you know, for a lot of people out there who are like, yeah, don't believe that they can't do anything out there, that they don't respect that the whole employment world out there is one where they have to, like, lose complete integrity. You know, that's unfortunately rough for a lot of us out there, that we have to eat crow a lot. And so one of the things I tell folks is that, you know, hey, if you have to because your kids are going to starve to death, hey, that's okay. But don't kid yourself when you're doing it just for some extra comfort and some extra security. Again, you know, just, you know, take wherever you can intelligent risks. I mean, a big thing is that school, I have to, you know, that's a whole other topic of how that breaks people. School, I would say school, television, and the mental health profession are some of the big areas that really break young people. But, you know, one of the things that, you know, that life is very different than school. Life's not going to give you an F for failure, okay? Life is going to reward you, you know, for taking some risks.
Doctor, we got 5 minutes left. We got 5 minutes left. A 1 minute break. We're going to come back. Let's talk about those three pillars of control. Okay, coming up in the next segment, News Blitz and more of your phone calls. Key info coming up. Dr. Bruce E. Levine is our guest. His website's www.brucelevine.com.net. Excuse me, brucelevine.net. Got it linked up on Infowars.com and prisonplanet.com. He's an author. Just search his name, a lot of great research. Okay, so in the last 5 minutes we've got with you, sir, you were talking about the three big pillars of mind control, of oppression: school, TV, and mental health. people don't even communicate with each other anymore. 4.5 hours of TV, and it's growing. I guess just turning the TV off is one giant step towards freedom.
Oh, my God, yeah, that's about the easiest thing that you could do, I mean, out there. If you've got any kind of strength, any kind of energy left, I mean, you know, just watch, you know, let, you know, as little television as you possibly can. It's not just the content that's killing you. What it does is it just kind of affects your brain waves. It puts you in this kind of passive, hypnotized state, and it's just one of the most highly pacifying things that they've ever come up with here to control the population. Again, it's not just the content.
Continue.
Well, school, I mean, you know, is one of the kinds of things that you can't get an issue that you get more Democrats and more Republicans to totally shake hands and agree on, you know. I mean, if you take a look at the No Child Left Behind Act, you know, you got George W. Bush wanting to throw more money at that, you know, Obama loves school. You know, there's nothing that these guys love more than school. Why is that? Because forever people have known, you know, from, you know, I mean, it's not just Bruce Levine here. It's like from Thoreau to, you know, from H.L. Mencken, anybody who's thought critically at all about school understands this is not the place where most people get any kind of education. It's just a place to kind of subdue them. You know, one thing, if you guys have never had on your show here, John Taylor Gatto is an interesting guy who actually won the New York City Teachers of the Year Award in 1990. And then he basically kind of like laughed at what a joke it was. And I'll give you one quick quote here from him, from Mr. Gatto here. He says, I've noticed a fascinating phenomenon in my 25 years of teaching, that schools and schooling are increasingly irrelevant to the great enterprises of the planet. No one believes anymore that scientists are trained in science classes or politicians in civics classes or poets in English classes. The truth is that schools don't really teach anything except how to obey orders, okay? Most critically thinking kids know that. Most people realize that the way you learn things is not in a classroom. It's on your own. You know, that's certainly how almost everything I was taught, you know, in classrooms about psychology is just basically a way to kind of, you know, not
well, schools. 3,000 years ago were all at local temples that taught certain so-called sciences, and they were cults. They were secret societies of knowledge, and now it's just a way to get people in debt and keep all these young people from starting their own businesses, going in their own directions. We see almost all the big inventors and people never even went to college because
You're making a good point here. It's like this is these guys that I'm talking about were just criticizing high school, but now as you've got more kind of like pressuring people and shaming people that they have to go to college, you're jacking up their debt and their interest rates, and you know, you've completely created almost a new indentured servant population of folks who are pressured and forced to go to schools because they were told that, you know, that they're never going to be able to survive out there with a college education,
and they're stalled from entering the workforce.
Right, and you know, and you know, it takes, you know, it's very hard once you, that's another way to really oppress and subdue a population, give them a pile of debt. And that's what they're doing, you know, that's what our society is doing to what should be the most rebellious population, your young adults. And they're not rebelling very much because they're all terrified. They're all filled with not only student debt, credit card debt, everything like that. And it's just like for them, is that they're just drowning in that.
Man, you really are speaking the truth because, the only good reason to go to school is to meet like-minded people that are into the same thing, maybe meet your mate. I mean, it really is worthless.
Right. I mean, it was a good deal if you're rich, you know, hey, and daddy's going to pay for it, you know, it was an okay deal, you know, you get drunk, you have some fun, meet some people from the opposite sex. And, you know, in my day, before, you know, where you still had public institutions where you didn't have to pay, which is me, if you were working class, which is what, you know, I was, you know, dad worked for the post office, they were public institutions, it didn't cost me any money to go, it was a pretty good deal to spend four years.
Also in the past, doctor, you had to go to a school because that's where the books were kept, now we have the internet. You know what? Let me twist your arm for five more because I want you to get to the third pillar, mental health, in closing. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
I talked to Daryl Rundis this morning. We found out why YouDoNews.com went down. It got hacked out of the Netherlands. So he's getting that back up. Appreciate Daryl Rundis and all his great work. Okay, I'm going to do a few more minutes with Dr. Bruce E. Levine. Really appreciate him joining us. The website's www.brucelevine.net, L-E-V-I-N-E. and really interesting info. I probably agree with about 95% of what he's talking about. The point is Veritas. It is common sense. And I've read the establishment's books about how they're manipulating us. They get off on the power of just being able to lie to you and you accepting it. And they like it even more if you just drop out and don't resist them. That's why they're setting the precedent to lie and lie and lie. But talking about psychiatry, the psychological system, from the inception, it was set up to control society. It was used by the Nazis and the Soviets and the communist Chinese and our country. And eugenics was run by the psychiatrists in many respects to sterilize people. And you know, the highest rate of suicides of any profession from the numbers I've seen are psychologists and psychiatrists. A lot of them are crazier than a you-know-what rat. I mean, and of course, there's a lot of good ones, too. I guess Jungian or, you know, other Carl Jung. And I don't even know. I'm saying I totally agree with all that either. I'm just saying it's not all bad. But what the big corporations push and promote is the most virulent form. Because when I was talking to this John Gartner for Psychology Today, I mean, he was very childlike. I would say, so you say I'm crazy, there's no world government. I said, can I send you 100 articles, Times of London, saying world government by banks? And he would just say, so you believe it's real? Are they coming to get you? And I said, look, this isn't a joke, sir. Globalization's real. And he just kept, and it's like a game. I mean, it's like a mind trick. I just don't know how to explain it to have them. And you know, they know that they're lying, but they are like the torturer of Winston in 1984. It doesn't matter. They're in control. They're in the power structure. And they don't care if you're really right because they believe perception's reality. If they say 2 + 2 = 1,000,000, it does. And you're wrong if you say it equals 4. Closing comments on that third pillar, the whole psychological system.
Yeah, I think that, well, you know, again, go through not just oppositional defiant disorder and anarchy. One of the things, if you want to tweak them next time, Alex, and say, how come you guys, like, had homosexuality as a mental illness up until the 1970s? Why did it get in your diagnostic Bible, the DSM, and why did it get out? Well, it got in there for purely political reasons, and it got out because a bunch of gay psychiatrists didn't like being called mentally ill. So almost everything in their pathological Bible called the DSM is in there for political reasons, okay, and it gets taken out. Very rarely things get taken out. More things get added in there. Once in a while, they do get taken out. It's all political. And I think that, you know, one of the things that was clear to me in 10 years of hanging around in academic training, you know, getting my undergraduate degree and getting my graduate degrees was that the two populations of people that I've met in my life that are the most compliant are school teachers and mental health professionals. And they tend to, you know, whenever they see anybody out there who's non-compliant, whether they're actively non-compliant or they're more passively non-compliant, they those kind of people make them very anxious. And if you're a mental health professional, if you're a psychiatrist or psychiatrist, when you're anxious, you know, you tend to pathologize. You tend to, you know, you disease somebody. If you're a cop, you get to, you know, call somebody a criminal. And the two major ways that American society has really kind of controlled people who are trying to not
labeling
are criminalizing them and to pathologize them. I mean, those are two great ways to do that. And so if you're in a society, who do you want to have as your teachers and who do you want to have as your mental health professionals? Those most compliant members of society. Now, again, across the board, there are exceptions. I mentioned one teacher, John, you know, Gatto, and there are mental health professionals who are exceptions, but they are rare.
Well, let me throw this in. Everybody remembers their favorite teacher. And I had this football coach who was also the U.S. history teacher, and he later I found out he really knew what he was talking about. He was talking about big banks, gunboat diplomacy. This school's funded and run by, you know, corporate ideas. It's a public school, you know, to make you compliant. You may want college, but for a lot of you, it won't be good. It's just a way to get you in debt. And everybody loved him. But then most of the other teachers were these control freaks who got off on the structure, got off on the power, and they were threatened by anybody that even could correct them who was a student. They reveled in being part of this hive or this Borg.
Right. The selection process for teachers, and even more so for my profession, psychologists, psychiatrists, the selection process weeds out non-compliant people. Okay. And then once, if somebody can slip through the gates, they happen to slip through the gates because they have these great tests or whatever, and that the whole socialization process, you know, tries to make these people feel like, I'll tell you a term that I heard over and over again was like, you have issues with authority. You have issues with authority. And, you know, I would come back and I'd say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, that's enough of a problem to get you kicked out of a program, whether it's a teaching program or being a psychologist. I saw it happen all the time. And some of the more courageous, critically thinking, gutsy kind of people who you would have liked to have as your counselor, you know, those people, they just never make it all the way till the end. And that's just the way it is. You know, there's exceptions every once in a while. There's a couple of famous psychologists, people like Eric Fromm who saw all these things. And there's certain teachers like that. But overall, these are professions that socialize and select people to be very, very, very compliant. And
is it a power trip? I mean, because I've interviewed establishment psychologists and psychiatrists, and you can have the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times. Well, I'm going to let you go in a second, but I want to play this short clip for you because do you guys have Tony Blair with the conspiracy theorist comments? Cue that up because I have Fox News right here and I have the UK Daily Mail about it. And he basically said, we're conspiracy theorists if we think that they lied about WMDs when everyone knows they lied about them. We have the White House and Downing Street memo. I mean, they know it's a fraud, but they use these labels. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, right. I mean, that's the, you know, the most obvious thing where there's this obvious thing that they, of course, they lied about WMDs. But I'll give you another one, a more personal example. When Ernest Hemingway, towards the end of his life, he was very depressed, and he started saying stuff like, I think, you know, the FBI is listening to me. Well, he got accused then or diagnosed or labeled as being psychotically depressed, having delusions and paranoid. So not only did they drug him, but they started electroshocking him. Well, years later, people looked in, you know, Freedom of Information Act, and because Hemingway had spent some time in Cuba, you know, that they actually, FBI was bugging him, all right? And so, you know, a lot
of... But, I mean, look, if you've sold 20 million books and worship the government, they're listening to you, all the declassified documents admit they come in and sit in big churches that aren't even political.
Right. Right, and nowadays, I mean, with so many folks who are like, you know, in these kind of security positions, and so few people who are rebelling out there, I'm sure they've got plenty of people. They got 10 people for each one of Alex Jones's out there. They got more folks who are listening in than folks who are actually rebelling.
And they admit that. Well, I remember 5 years ago they were calling a conspiracy theory that Bush was listening to Americans without warrants, and he said, "I promise you, I'm not doing it." Later, it came out he was lying.
Right. You know, and on a more subtle level, even the kind of people I've talked to, you know, on a more personal level who've been accused of being delusional and psychotic and having conspiracy theories because they're saying their spouses are trying to poison their food. Well, you know, often that they're wrong in the exact facts that their spouse isn't trying to poison their food. But you know what? When you get into these people's lives, it turns out their spouse maybe really does wish that they would be dead, that they really don't like them. And they're not even folks, you know, who are, you know, there's very few folks I meet out there who are completely crazy, although they may not have exactly all the facts right.
There's usually something that's traumatized them that then triggers the paranoia.
Right, right, exactly.
Now, that's what I found, and that's how COINTELPRO works. They want us to all get paranoid. We just got to have trust, and that comes from courage, and just say, we're going to get out in the community, we're going to be involved, we're not going to let police intimidating us or provocateurs stop us. We've got to do this. Let me play this short clip, then I'll let you go. Here is Tony Blair last night on Fox News. Here it is.
I don't pretend for a moment to understand American politics very well. I certainly don't understand British politics, but why so many of these inquiries? There's been four, and they've all been relentless. They haven't really mined any new ground. I think it's partly because we have this curious habit, I don't think this is confined to Britain actually, where people find it hard to come to the point where they say, we disagree. You're a reasonable person, I'm a reasonable person, but we disagree. There's always got to be a scandal as to why you hold your view. There's got to be some conspiracy behind it, some great, you know, deceit that's gone on. And people just find it hard to understand.
Let's stop right there. we have all the memos. We have the Niger uranium cake, the aluminum tubes. We know Bush and Blair met, and Blair said, you can't do this, and Bush said, we're already doing it. And they said, well, how do we make something up? I mean, we know, and he just says, oh, people have to believe there's something else. They've had four inquiries because he keeps lying. I mean, he's caught red-handed saying we're basically mentally ill.
Yeah, I mean, right. I mean, that's one of the most obvious things that people should hold on to. That's just right out there. These guys, you know, there's all kinds of facts from every different source citing that these guys wanted to go into war in Iraq, and these guys were looking for every kind of reason that they could come up with, make up anything. And we know that this whole weapons of mass destruction thing was fabricated. So if there's anything out there that's just been a proven, you know, true conspiracy, it's this thing here. And so that should tell folks, well, maybe every kinds of the specifics of every conspiracy theory here aren't true, but these things actually do happen, where there's folks to be, you know, powers to be, are conspiring with things for their own financial and power, you know, advantages.
Which is the way it's always been. An amazing hour and a 15-minute interview. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us again. In closing, the website is BruceLevine.net. Sir, we'll talk to you again in the near future. Thanks for spending time with us.
Okay, Alex. Bye-bye.
Take care. Right, we're going to come back with some key news. I'm going to play some clips that I think are very important from Fall of the Republic. I mean, every time I watch my own film, I'm just amazed at how much info is in it and how important it is to get out to everybody. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us.
Stephen, we're hearing tonight from two victims of a scandal involving a veteran FHP officer. Sources tell CBS 4 Trooper Paul Lawrence has been fired after his arrest for writing fake tickets. 850 traffic citations he issued are under review. Many of them have already been dismissed.
Well, it's kind of sad because these are the people we look up to. You know, this is law enforcement. I mean, who else are we going to go to if we don't have them? And now it seems like you can't trust them. Well, what are we going to do?
Well, it's unjust. I don't think it's the right thing when you have law enforcement doing this type of, you know, this type of work. You know, I work for Dayland Dodge Chrysler Jeep. I have a management position, and my license depends on my job. And I got stopped for no reason.
Trooper Lawrence is accused of writing the fake tickets to boost the number of citations he was reporting, even though FHP says they have no quota requirements.
Okay, we've got scores of videos every day that make the police look horrible. We don't play most of them because I figured out it plays into the hands of the establishment, because then it divides the people from the police even more, and then the police start persecuting the population even more. But we do expose the corruption. It's just we don't obsess over it, particularly because we understand the larger psychological warfare operation. But notice here they did the right thing with the guy writing fake tickets. But then they go ahead and lie and say there's not a quota. It's come out that every police department has an unwritten quota. You get promoted for tickets you write. And it just so happens that I had cruise control on a Chevy truck with standard tires. Wasn't bigger tires or something. I was doing 60 in a 60 on cruise control. This is years ago in college. I got pulled over by state police in North Texas, and they got mad. I said, I had this on cruise control. There's no way I was going above 60. And they started threatening me. And the point is, they went ahead and gave me the ticket, and there was their word against mine. And there are quotas, and it's wrong, and we shouldn't have this type of stuff going on. But they throw the book at the American people, but the illegal aliens get let go for speeding in most cases. They get let go for drunk driving, they get arrested. They get a $1 or $50, depending on the case. I've seen $25 fines, $1 fines. I'm really getting upset by this double standard. And it just shows what a lawless, corrupt government that we have in this society, and how the police have got it in their heads more and more, especially in big departments, that it's okay to do these type of things. Remember the cop, the state police in Oklahoma, where they beat up the ambulance driver? This woman's having a heart attack. The cop pulls up on him about 100 miles an hour. They try to get over on the side of the road out of his way. They instantly pull over. He goes to the place he had to go to. Nothing's happening there at a gas station. Chases them down through neighborhoods at over 80 miles an hour, through residential. Pull him over, and they get out and say, what's the problem? And the guy starts screaming at him, you need to learn to get out of my way. just on a crazy power trip, and the state police lied before the videos were fully released and said that the black man, the black ambulance driver, had assaulted him. And then it turned out he did nothing. The cop grabbed him, and the guy pulled his hand back. That's assault? Hey, man, we're human beings. You're not God. And I know most police aren't like this, but you got vets coming home waterboarding their six-year-olds because they can't do their ABCs. You got vets killing their husbands, killing their wives because they've served two, three, four tours. They weren't cut out for it. They've flown over the cuckoo's nest. And most of them, what is it, 70-plus percent of cops are now former combat vets? A lot of these guys have got screws loose, ladies and gentlemen. And they've got guns. And they've got all this authority, and they're protected when they do bad things to people. Turned out that guy in Oklahoma was a vet. I mean, he's going to a response for a fight at a gas station, and you see him going at least 100. I mean, way up there's this ambulance on windy roads. He flies up behind him. Within 1 second, the ambulance pulls out into the median, over into the grass. He shoots past him, and it's just incredible. And there happened to be a stalled car in the side of the road. They almost smashed into that. Then he drives like a maniac through the neighborhood. And I've seen footage after footage of cops beating people up, and they don't even resist them beating them up. And then they get charged with assaulting them. And cops know they're doing this. Cops, if you've been given the power to engage in this type of corruption, what do you think your bosses are? Who do you think they are? And then their bosses and their bosses. It just gets more and more evil the higher up you go. And then the media uses examples of good cops that get in trouble for not doing bad things to make us feel sorry for the police. When in truth, that's some good cop who made the system mad, so they're persecuting him. See, I mean, I figured out how this whole system works, and then I've gone and researched separate books written by police chiefs and others, and it turns out what I have instinctively discovered is exactly what they're doing. It's just diabolical to the max. Don't forget our new free Alex Jones Show app for your iPhone to listen free, climbing the charts towards number one. It's number eight right now in the news section of the Apple iPhone. It's free. Banners at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Please spread the word to all your friends and family that have iPhones about it. Great way to turn them on to the truth.
Already own and control the third world. Their final target is the middle class of the West. Once they've dismantled the economies of the United States, Europe, and Japan, they believe no one can stand in their way. In short, the New World Order is a global corporate takeover. In their global corporate state, there is no room for individuality, sovereignty, or independence. As their program begins to face more and more opposition, lawmakers and supporters of the man-made global warming hypothesis want laws to be passed, making it illegal to question their theories. Recently, the head of Greenpeace was forced to admit that the Arctic and Antarctic ice caps grow in the winter and shrink in the summer, and that this is all part of a natural process driven by the tilt of the Earth and the sun.
The cosmic radiation coming from space, the amount reaching the Earth is affected by the strength of the sun's magnetic field. So the magnetic field of the sun is almost like a gateway controlling the cosmic radiation reaching the Earth. The magnetic strength of the sun is also related to the number of sunspots. So they are directly related to changes within the inner structure of the sun. The amount of cosmic radiation reaching the lower atmosphere creates more cloud, right? And cloud forms, you need to have what are called condensation nuclei. That is, little particles around which water can change from water vapor or gas into water droplets, minute particles that are visible in the form of clouds. We've known for a long time that there was more cloud than the amount of particles in the atmosphere, because we assumed it was clay particles and salt particles that were creating this condensation process. But there was this gap. We now realize, of course, it's the cosmic radiation that's doing it. So what the cosmic radiation is doing, controlled by the magnetic field of the sun, is putting up a, it's like putting up a screen in the greenhouse and blocking out the sunlight. And of course, that then affects the temperature of the Earth. That's why there's a relationship between the sunspots and the temperature on the Earth. So we now know the mechanism, but they completely ignore that.
More than 31,000 scientists from across the United States, including more than 9,000 PhDs from the fields of climatology, atmospheric science, earth science, and hydrology, signed a petition rejecting man-made global warming as a scientific fraud. This shattered the hoax of the so-called consensus that the mainstream media had been pushing for years, that every scientist on Earth believed that man-made global warming was a fact. If the people are able to block their carbon tax takeover, the elite's agenda to establish a planetary world government will collapse. To force their unpopular agenda upon the planet, the controllers are racing to complete the construction of their police state control grid. Borrowing from tactics used in the past by communist, fascist, and other totalitarian regimes, every form of classical textbook tyranny is now being implemented in the West. In the United States, the central government is federalizing local police.
State and local officers are in a great position to collect important information on terrorists and their allies. And the Terrorist Screening Center stands ready to help you.
This video, produced by Homeland Security, is required viewing for all departments in the U.S.
And with the teamwork of local, state, and federal law enforcement, we have an excellent opportunity to see the picture and solve the puzzle before these terrorists can strike again.
State, county, and city police now take their marching orders directly from DHS and FEMA. The videos and training manuals turn peace officers, once guardians of the Republic, into secret police.
See way down there? There's a woman taking photos of the dam. Someone called 911 and reported a suspicious person. As you guessed, she's going to be a Category 3 hit. And since it's very important that we don't let her know that we know, both the dispatcher and the officer need to make sure she doesn't hear the radio traffic.
Stand by. I could ask you to wait right here, please.
Sure. Everyday items and activities are listed as proof that you are sympathizing with shadowy boogeymen of terror.
Of course, he's going to keep his eyes open for anything interesting or unusual in the car. That would include cameras, binoculars, video equipment, GPS, maybe things like sleeping bags that suggest they're living out of the car.
From their inception, Homeland Security and NORTHCOM were set up to dominate the people and the states, not to fight the CIA-created Al-Qaeda. Patriotic members of the military and law enforcement, at great risk to their lives and careers, have sent this filmmaker federally and internationally produced law enforcement manuals, textbooks, documents, and videos. The MIAC report, distributed to Missouri law enforcement, list gun owners, libertarians, constitutionalists as potential terrorists. The federally written document went on to list Ron Paul, Bob Barr, and American flag bumper stickers as dangerous paraphernalia linked to white supremacists. Even before 9/11, FEMA was quietly indoctrinating local police to have a hatred of the founding fathers and everything our constitutional republic stands for.
Who was the first terrorist organization in the United States? Who?
Founding fathers.
Founding fathers. You mean Thomas Jefferson?
Oh, yeah.
You mean George Washington?
Oh, yeah.
Paul Revere?
Yeah.
These guys right here, let me ask you something. Did they try to scare people?
Oh, yeah.
They tried to intimidate the British. Did they use acts of violence? Your founding fathers, my founding fathers, were involved in acts of terrorism against British officials because they systematically had British officials assassinated.
In the old Soviet Union, Nazi Germany, and Maoist China, the police's main job was not fighting crime. In totalitarian forms of government, the police are political enforcers, or commissars as they were known in Russia. It's their job to spy on the public and to intimidate the exercise of free speech. Once a climate of fear has been achieved, the public begins to self-censor, to shut down.
Once the people have been intimidated to withdraw from the field of intellectual battle, the tyrants have a free hand to expand their oppression and looting of the helpless serfs.
The average man and woman is in a trance. They get home from work. They don't even talk to their children. They turn the television on, and they let those corporate messages set the agenda in their lives. If we want a revolution against these social engineers and the scientific dictatorship, we have to start getting back to basics, having barbecues, knowing our neighbors, loving our husbands and wives, spending time with our children, and getting back to real human culture. This false corporate culture has been superimposed over our daily lives. The public is literally under a trance. We have to somehow reach out to them and break them out of this trance. And as the globalists destroy our standard of living and bring in their police state, a lot of people are beginning to wake up and realize that what they've been told all their lives was a lie. But it's essential that we, the people, are there to reach out to our fellow Americans and our fellow human beings and show them the truth.
But the scientific dictatorship needs more than just a secret police network to carry out their plan. Citizen spies at every level of society have been recruited to keep their eyes and ears focused on everything their neighbors and co-workers are doing and saying. More than 50,000 private sector executives have been recruited by FEMA to secretly serve as deputy FBI informants under the InfraGuard program. Now there are more than 75,000 preachers serving FEMA in the clergy response teams. Internal FEMA documents reveal that the majority of America's pastors now serve as agents of the shadow government. They are even instructed on how and what to preach.
NSKSLA News 12 Jeff Farrell discovered the clergy would help the government with potentially their biggest problem, us.
From my cold, dead hands.
Charlton Heston's famous declaration captures a truly American value, the overarching desire to protect our freedoms. But gun confiscation is exactly what happened during the state of emergency following Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. U.S. troops also arrived, something far easier to do even now thanks to last year's elimination of the 1878 Posse Comitatus Act. That forbid U.S. troops from policing on American soil. If martial law were enacted here at home, public fears and quelling dissent would be critical. And that's exactly what the clergy response team, as it's called, helped accomplish in New Orleans.
Jeff, the primary thing that we say to anybody is let's cooperate and get this thing over with, and then we'll settle the differences once the crisis is over.
Such clergy response teams would walk a tightrope between the needs of the government versus the wishes of the public.
In a lot of cases, these clergy would already be known in the neighborhoods in which they're helping to defuse that situation.
For the clergy, one of the biggest tools that they will have in helping calm the public down or obey the law is the Bible itself, specifically Romans, Romans 13.
Because the government is established by the Lord, you know, and that's what we believe in the Christian faith. That's what's stated in the scripture.
They prepare their flocks like sheep to the slaughter for gun confiscation. Forced inoculation, and they tell them that it is a blessing to have their families broken up and put into FEMA camps.
Ihr Land, Frankreich, Portugal, Spanien, die Schweiz, Liechtenstein, Luxemburg, Polen, Finnland, Rumänien.
Adolf Hitler bragged that his most powerful domestic tool used by the Nazis to control the people was the servile clergy, and his favorite Bible verse was Romans 13, render unto Caesar.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
The scam was launched as a simple bait and switch. The government recruited the public by telling them that they were needed in the fight against Al-Qaeda. But from day one, over 90% of their training and operations focus on demonizing, surveilling, and harassing anyone who stands against their takeover.
The Department of Homeland Security calling on firefighters to take on a new role in the war on terror. The idea, to be the eyes for the U.S. government when they're inside a home. Now, unlike police officers, firefighters don't need a warrant to go into private houses. And critics say that's where things get sticky.
Cable company repairmen, truck drivers, maid services, and hundreds of other professions that go inside homes and businesses without warrants are now on the government's payroll as citizen snitch spies. But Big Brother doesn't stop there. Children are being indoctrinated inside the public schools nationwide to spy on their parents.
You can give information without having to give your name. You guys can get paid for good tips up to $200.
The New York Times praised public school programs in the United States and England that are training children to report their parents for eco-crimes, like taking a hot bath or letting the water run while you brush your teeth. All of that violates their carbon footprint credit allotment.
Check it out.
And that's where we come in. We're the carbon cops and we're on the lookout for energy wasters.
Our job is to get all Australian households to cut their carbon emissions.
So Carbon Cops is a program that looked at energy use in a domestic sense. We went into people's houses and got them to reduce their energy use by 50%.
Sadly, the Boy Scouts of America have now contracted with the Department of Homeland Security and are now training more than 20,000 Boy Scouts in anti-terror urban warfare mount training. The federal grants are very specific. The Scouts are trained to carry out seek and destroy missions against disgruntled veterans of the U.S. Armed Forces.
Good evening, everyone. Homeland Security is enlisting some unlikely new recruits to fight terrorism and help with other emergencies. The Girl Scouts. Girl Scouts across the country and here in East Tennessee are now taking part.
9-year-old Elise Murphy has already earned a lot of Girl Scout patches.
And now, every member of the 3.4 million Girl Scouts of America is now being trained by the Federal Emergency Management Agency to aid and support Homeland Security in disaster and anti-terror operations.
One of the things that if you talk to our generals, they are desperate for is a civilian counterpart to our military forces.
Everybody somewhere between the ages of 18 and 25 will serve 3 months of basic training and understanding in a kind of civil defense.
So is this compulsory then?
Well, you have to, in the sense it's a required of everybody, 18 to 25, 3 months. And at some point at that point, you do it.
Creating citizen armies in one way is, you know, it's disgusting. Because what you do is you get young kids and you can mold their minds easily. And we saw them chanting and crying and they'll follow any leader, whether it's in a black shirt, a brown shirt, a red shirt, whatever the shirt might be.
Another branch of Homeland Security, the Corporation for National and Community Service, is setting up literally hundreds of other private uniformed youth groups. The White House has introduced legislation to establish forced national service for all Americans between the ages of 16 and 64. In 2008, the North American Military Governorship, known as NORTHCOM, announced that they had deployed 4,000 regular Army troops inside the United States to deal with civil unrest because they knew that their offshore masters were about to rob the United States blind. In 2009, the Pentagon requested funding from Congress to deploy 379,000 military personnel in thousands of communities across the United States. And now, legislation has been introduced in Congress to expand a system of FEMA concentration camps across the United States under the National Emergency Centers Act, H.R. 645. The Republic is hanging by a thread. The last vestiges of our free system of government are being swept away.
You know, you got time to watch baseball, you got time to watch football, you got time to entertain yourself. But I think a knowledgeable public we're losing, and we've got to get people back on track to paying attention, because if you don't pay attention to your government and what they're doing, you're going to pay some dire consequences for it.
Unless we become active and become influential in the power centers of society, there's nothing we can do about it. just knowing about it is not enough. And as long as we are given at election time an option between the Republican candidate or the Democrat candidate, both of whom have been selected by members of the Council on Foreign Relations, and both of whom have the same general policies, that's not going to change anything either. So the real issue is, so what? And the answer is, we've got to recapture control of the power centers of society.
The people have a decision to make. Our nation has been seized in the jaws of a global corporate takeover. We're losing our freedoms. And it's up to every man, woman, and child in the United States to decide whether we're going to be fooled by the slick propaganda of the social engineers or whether we're going to restore the republic.
The values expressed by our founding fathers and the Declaration of Independence and other documents are very important to these times, and it's now our chance to manifest those documents.
Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country, because the country is being stolen from us in broad daylight. Not only stolen metaphorically, but financially as well. The numbers don't lie.
The American people, having been educated as to the truth, then have to rise up and demand and get a government that starts serving them. We need a change, and it isn't going to come from Democrats and Republicans. It has to come from the American people.
Dissension is the greatest form of patriotism, and I believe that. Because if you don't hold your elected officials' feet to the fire and pay attention, you are going to get bad government. So it's imperative for all of us. It's our job as citizens of this great country to pay attention.
This is our last chance to not relive history. Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. America is a prize coveted by the despotic megacorporations that now dominate our planet. If their world government is truly to rise, freedom and the republic for which it stands must fall. Now is the time for all good men and women to come to the aid of their country. One of the greatest events in history is taking place before our very eyes. For many generations into the future, our progeny will look back on this time as either a place where humanity rose to the challenge and made a stand against the forces of darkness, or as a time when the planet fell into the grip of a merciless high-tech tyranny. In part two of Fall of the Republic, you will learn the elite's master plan for humanity. But more importantly, you will learn how to stop that plan, reverse the criminal tide, and reignite the flame of liberty on the long march to man's ultimate destiny.